All right, look at this. It's Stroll Radio, people, your favorite podcast. And I'm talking to Corey. Corey's like, no, this ain't my favorite podcast.
No, How Did This Get Made might be my favorite podcast.
Okay, that's fine.
WTF, there's so many good ones.
It's hard. No, I have a problem. If you want to talk about WTF, I will talk about WTF.
Yeah, it's kind of hit or miss.
He can't interview musicians. The Lena Dunham was the worst interview I've ever heard. You goddamn Marin, I swear. I like Marin.
Let's say hello to the nice people.
Hi, people. Thanks for listening to this
show. I'm Joel Fragamenti.
I'm Corey Hall, except for I'm not. I'm actually Joel.
You know, people
Corey.
Still get us confused.
Oh, I know. Well, people think when, what was the guy? He said when he saw the pictures of us, he assumed in the photo that you were me and I was you.
I mean, there's nothing to really indicate, like, we're not a group. I'm slightly taller than you.
Slightly taller.
There's not like a big difference.
And balder.
You know what I mean? Like there's no...
I'm not sure who's heavier at this point. It probably has gone back and forth.
Yeah.
I might be heavier than you now.
I'm not at one of my skinnier points.
So I don't know. But when you talk about we're roughly... I'm three years older than you.
It's not like Joel's blonde and...
Sure.
Corey's 6'5".
Well, we're like...
There's no difference between...
It's
like...
John Lennon and George Harrison. If we were handsome, that would be
exactly.
If we're handsome and more talented or something.
Well, you have glasses and I don't.
Sure.
That's about the biggest difference.
Yeah. You know, have you ever seen like a comedy team where there's a skinny, handsome guy and then a big, fat, ugly guy? We're a two fat, ugly guy comedy team, which is rare. Right. Not a lot of two fat guy
the
comedy teams.
The only other one I'm aware of is...
Tenacious D?
Tenacious D. That's
Tenacious
true.
D is
that's
two
good,
fat
that's
guys.
A good point.
Who else?
We both look like Kyle Gass.
Well, who else would be the two fat guy comedy teams?
Penn and Teller are different heights, so that makes them different.
I think Penn is... Well,
Penn's a big giant.
Yeah, they're not too...
So they look different.
Yeah.
But I would say Leroy and Skillet, the legendary... Chitlin Circuit comics were two fat guys.
They were two fat guys?
Yeah.
Were Amos and Andy two fat guys as well? I'm trying to remember. Well, there's Amos and Andy on the radio, and those were two white guys, and right. And then the Amos and Andy movies were two black guys,
Andy
right?
was fat, and Amos wasn't as fat.
Okay, yeah.
But most people get confused because Amos was a cab driver.
Okay.
And he kind of stopped being the lead character.
Oh.
And Kingfish took over.
Oh, okay.
And became more popular.
He was the most popular
so people,
of
when
them.
It was on TV, they remember Kingfish.
Oh, okay. So they don't even remember Amos and Andy.
Well, anyway.
They remember the Amos and Andy show, but it was Kingfish was the star.
Amos and Andy was it's crazy. We don't ever talk about it. There's a great book I read on
yeah.
it. Yeah, it was the radio was two white guys. It was Freeman and Gosnell.
Okay, yeah.
But they were the first radio show to hire African Americans.
Okay.
Like the women were, they hired like black actresses to play the women.
All right,
they were still doing the now look at here, voice, and so it's got a real tortured. How do we get into this?
Because we're the two fat guy comedy team.
Two fat. Amos and Andy was once so famous.
This is why you don't do two fat guys. Cause they're not funny.
Go ahead. In like the late 30s, it was so popular.
Yeah,
movie theaters would stop the movie. They'd be showing a newsreel and a cartoon, and they'd go. It's time for Amos and Andy. And they'd play Amos and Andy over the speakers.
Okay.
Because it was only
the radio show.
Because it was only 15 minutes.
All right.
And then they went
start
the movie.
Interesting.
I wish somebody would stop and play our podcast.
And then.
And go, here is Maleficent.
Here is A Million Ways to Die in the West. Corey's going to review A Million Ways to Die in the West before the show is over. He's going to review X-Men Days of Future Past. You reviewed Godzilla on the last show. I've seen it since then. I'll give my Godzilla thoughts. We also got to talk about the return of Last Comic Standing, which is always a favorite on this show. It's a favorite to talk about. I don't know if it's a favorite to watch. America's Got Talent is back. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about I got a big comedy gig that fell out of the sky. Sometimes the best ones fall out of the sky. And we'll figure out if this is the best one or not, but I've got a big show, so we'll talk about that. But if I can quickly talk about what's coming up tomorrow night as we tape this, it'll be the next show you hear from us after this one. Joel Radio returns live to O'Mara's Comedy Club. It's actually joelradio.net presents O'Mara's Comedy Club.
Oh, well, fine.
But you know who that is?
What's that?
The third member of the Jewel Radio board, John Tenney.
Oh.
Came up with the billing it. He says you want to push the podcast first.
I see.
Push the radio, push the comedy portion of it later.
Right, right, right.
The
right.
podcast portion first. That makes it unique.
Well, you know, that is sound business advice from a guy I've known who's chased away success at every opportunity.
Yeah, you're right.
I will say, though, that the next time John is on, there will be an interesting announcement or development.
I hope so. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And John, even when he's been on the show recently, couldn't talk about it. So hopefully.
Perhaps John will have something to tell us next time.
I hope
he's
he does. But you never know with John. John could piss it away and go chase a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or something.
I love that guy, and I've seen him at every turn reject success. No, but no, John's...
Success came knocking at the door, and John didn't answer the
John's
door.
John's been doing a really... I mean, he's been touring, doing conventions and stuff for a couple of years. He's really...
Yeah.
He gets to have lunch with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Brutus Beefcake, and so who can fight a man?
I had breakfast with Terry Funk.
That is the name...
I've told that story
that
on
is,
the show,
That is, by the way, Joel's
I?
Memoir. Breakfast with Terry Funk.
Is it Breakfast with Terry Funk or is it Smoking a Joint with Scott Hall? Which one? Oh, well, it was actually
one of them is rarer than the other.
It was Violent J and Scott Hall's. is that a better story?
I would imagine that someone smoked a joint with both of those gentlemen
before
quite frequently.
But,
either one,
but Breakfast with Terry Funk.
Terry probably doesn't wake up. In time for breakfast.
Well, you know, the story, I'll just give a quick recap. Terry Funk, one of the most legendary wrestlers of all time, and if you've ever seen him, he's still wrestling into his late 60s now. He still does matches occasionally.
King of Hardcore.
Yeah, King of the Hardcore. Had a whole second career as this hardcore legend, and was super famous in Japan in the 70s and 80s. Was the NWA champion, the whole thing. So he was, you know, it was like we were having, it was the Gathering of the Juggalos. He was appearing for a couple days. So he was staying in the hotel with the crew, and this is back in the early days of the Gathering when we're all staying at hotels in town in Warren, Ohio. And I went to the free breakfast at the hotel at the Quality Inn or whatever it was. And, you know, there's five or six tables to sit down, and you had the little breakfast buffet of English muffins and bagels and cold cereal and shit like that. And, you know, all of the tables had somebody at them. And at one table, there was one guy sitting there, and it was Terry Funk, and all the other seats were open. And I said, I'm not going to not sit with Terry. I need to sit somewhere to eat breakfast.
Sure.
I'm not going to not sit with Terry Funk when given the opportunity. And I sat there and I tried to not kiss his ass and tell him that I have, you know, 500 tapes of him wrestling in various places all over the world. And, you know, so, he would, but, you know.
It is weird sometimes when you meet, I've had, you know, you have the opportunity to meet a couple, like, big figures in your life.
Sure.
Or whatever, or somebody you.
Yeah.
That is really weird when you don't get, you know, you try not to geek out to them too much.
Well, that's the thing, because that was, this is a good, when I had Steve Malkmus, when I went and saw Pavement, the reunion tour, we went to Columbus, I took my girlfriend with me, who wasn't a Pavement fan at all. I had followed him around when the first run in the 90s. We pull into our hotel, like, which is, you know, down the street from the venue, literally to, like, check in, and, like, the three guys, Bob, Steve, and Scott from Pavement, are standing there waiting to go back to the venue for soundcheck. So I literally get out of the car, and it's, like, Pavement. I'm like, Pavement. I'm telling my girlfriend, Pavement. And a couple of the guys I had met back
you
in the day. But Malkmus I had never met. Malkmus is kind of a weird guy who doesn't socialize all that much.
Right.
So I said, I finally get to talk to Malkmus. So I'm standing there, and we're all talking, and everything's good. And then Malkmus just started talking to my girlfriend. And I kept trying to interject with things that I've been wanting to ask him about for 20 years.
But that's the thing.
And he was just talking to my girlfriend, who doesn't give two shits about who he is.
But see, that's the thing. Those conversations never go that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, although we had the benefit of liking bands that weren't famous enough to like not talk to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like when I would see Pavement back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Usually Scott was drunk. But you talked to some Bob.
Well,
or
yeah, I talked to all of the guys at one time or another. You know, Malkmus was the one guy I never talked to. So I was like, here's a chance for me to finally talk to Malkmus.
Right.
And Malkmus was more interested in my girlfriend. And
that's
there's
one
really
of the,
nothing I can do about it.
I got to
it.
Say, it's one of the best things about doing comedy, though, is that you get an opportunity to interact with people on a professional level.
Yeah.
And that's so much, you know what I mean?
Like, it is, yeah. Being a fan makes
you
a
douche. If I ran into Dave Attell on the street.
Yeah.
As a fan,
yeah,
I would feel like, hey, you know, it'd be nice to see him, but you'd be
feel
weird.
Yeah.
When you work with somebody, or it's, that's what makes it great.
Yeah.
Even just doing like TV.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson was in there the other day.
Right.
And, you know, not a big deal, but it's a Ghostbuster.
Sure, yeah.
So I took the time to stop and go say hi to Ernie Hudson. But since I was a guy that was hanging around the hallway drinking coffee,
yeah,
it was like a different, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's in a situation like that, it's about what the star thinks of you.
Right.
When they see you as a peer, they don't put up
totally
that they don't put up that wall. They don't put up that douchey thing. And that's the guys who are assholes or guys that you're working with and they treat you like you're a fan.
Right.
Whereas, you know, when you're actually working with a guy, when I was like, you know, two years into comedy, Mark Ridley let me open for Lewis Black one night.
Right.
And Lewis was real hot at this point and he was selling out every show at the Castle. And I got to sit with Lewis Black for an hour and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me his thoughts on what was on the show and just was doing like his own rant. And it was great. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I'm so honored to be sitting here with Lewis Black. And I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and try to, you know,
those are some
not
of the
be
best
a douche,
moments. Like,
you know?
You realize when you're playing, you're playing some fucking bowling alley in Central Ohio or some foreign Legion Hall or something.
Right.
Those are kind of the moments that sustain you, where you sit there and you're like, hanging out with Gilbert Gottfried and just talking about the Hollywood Squares or
and
whatever.
I spent...
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, I spent... And again, this guy, I don't think I ever... Because we did a Q&A.
This is the name-droppiest,
douchiest we've been. Let me just quickly, because I want to get to these... I'm going to drop names in a minute when I tell you what my new gig is, but I'm supposed to be talking about O'Meara's Comedy Night, but, you know, I spent... Me and Steve Sabo was there, who's been on our show, and you know, but we spent 4 or 5 hours with Roddy Piper.
Sure.
And it was great. And I just never... And we were doing a Q&A, so I got to ask him wrestling questions as part of that. Most of those he didn't answer. But otherwise, it was just hanging out with Piper.
Yeah.
Just you know, just watching him and how he rolls and stuff. And it was cool.
Well, and you know what?
Like, there's a guy who's done it all.
Generally, they're just
cool
people.
Yeah. But some guys are dicks. There's dicks.
Sure.
I don't know if I could call out a dick now, but...
Call a dick out.
I'm going to call a dick now. Who was personally a dick to me?
A Canadian?
I know I've told stories about who was a dick to me, didn't I?
No doubt. We've told all the stories.
Maybe I shouldn't. Okay, let's just move on.
Nah.
No, I mean, because I'm trying to think who's a dick to me, and now I'm trying to remember who was a dick to me. And I guess they're guys that were, but, you know, I don't even take it personally, though. Because I kind of know when guys are working, and if they're a dick, you know, that's...
Bob Newhart, huge asshole. Unbelievable, what a dick, Bob.
That Newhart. Regis Philbin.
Carol Burnett, what a twat.
I actually hate Regis, but not because he was a dick to me. I'm sure if I met Regis, he'd be the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, Frag, man.
And I'd have to say nice things about Regis later.
Wait,
but no.
Now hold on, Paisan. Huh? Why don't you like me, Regis Philbin?
Because celebrities come on your show and you don't ask any probing questions at all, Regis.
I've made peace with Regis. I know you hate Regis.
I do. He's gone now and I shouldn't hate Regis, but...
He was on like Craig Ferguson's show a couple nights ago. And I found myself missing Regis.
Yeah?
Because Regis's role was never to ask probing questions.
No.
We've shat upon Jimmy Fallon's shucking and jiving.
Well, he's the new version.
Yeah, and he is Mr. Happy, Happy Pappy.
Yeah.
And I hate Jimmy Fallon because he represents everything in the real world, in not just our business, in show business, in every business that I despise, which is phony cheerfulness.
We don't suffer from that, do we?
No.
We never get accused of being phony cheerful.
You know what I mean? It's just this, you can't possibly be enthusiastic about everything to that degree.
Yeah, at some point you got to go, like, you got to show some, you know, it's like, it's one of those things, you have to be a normal person. Not everything is the most interesting thing in the world to you. Not every movie that somebody's coming to promote is a great movie. Not everyone is, you know, you try to find interesting things.
That's what makes those shows difficult to do.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you have to have this sharp, respected comedic voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to come on and go, Tell me about Madea Goes to Jail.
Yeah.
What is it like working with Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
And you just got to sit there and go, there's no possible.
How do you not shit on Blended when Drew Barrymore comes on?
Right.
You just kind of go, this is a great new movie.
You did a voice in The Croods. What was that like? Like, and I see Conan sit there and do that and go, this movie is terrific.
You can see when Conan's lying through his teeth. I mean, he's really bad at it, but that's fine. I respect, you know, I don't respect him any less for that. I think Conan.
I feel like Conan does that show in spite of the interview. Like, he just goes, you're right, he goes into a trance to get through that part of it.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah, like, he'll be, Conan will be crazy and wild and funny, and then he brings it down a little bit. All right, so let's talk about Malevolence comes out this week, and what can you tell us about this film?
But there's a big difference between doing that and having an opinion, and it's hard to have both.
Yeah, it is.
And most people don't have an opinion. I realize I have run completely counter to most people's experiences.
You have too much of an opinion?
I have only been paid to have an opinion for years.
I guess, sure.
And so I'm a huge swinging dick. I mean, I'm a big asshole. And most people aren't like that.
Isn't that what a critic is, though? I mean, and critics...
I went to my... Okay, so we went to my in-laws over the weekend. All right. And, you know, Memorial Day.
We're supposed to be plugging O'Mara's comedy.
We'll
go
plug
ahead.
They all know.
I know. Go.
About the O'Mara's comedy night.
We're throwing away the set list. Come on.
They all know about the O'Mara's. So we went to my in-laws, right?
Yes.
And they're very nice people. They're exceptionally nice. My wife's family are real super nice, friendly, would you like a cookie Methodist.
Yes.
And I'm me. And they kind of, you know, I've been around for a long time, so they know me. But, like, my sister-in-law says, well, they're going to have a preschool graduation. Okay. And I lost my mind.
What is a preschool? Okay.
All right. And I'm not going to single her out because she's a wonderful woman, but she
says this to you how, like, Corey, would you like to come to the preschool graduation?
No, they're just like...
Are they trying to get your opinion of the preschool graduation? Are they throwing it out there?
Her son's going into kindergarten in the fall. So they had, like, preschool graduation.
Okay.
And he's going to be, you know, he's going to be going to school. And, or maybe, whatever, maybe next year, whatever. And they just, I don't know, they were talking about something, and they said preschool graduation. I said, what are you graduating from?
Yeah.
Preschool graduation.
Right.
And then my mother-in-law, who was a teacher for years, taught kindergarten.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I pushed hard to have kindergarten graduation.
Of course.
When I taught. And I said, you did what? And, like, so I just, like, had a conversation like I'd have with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you'll say something, and I'll go, what are you talking about? I forget that I can't talk to people like a comedian sometimes.
I have a problem with preschool graduation.
You should have a problem with preschool graduation.
My feeling is you can only celebrate something where there's some opportunity where you might have failed on the way to getting there. Does that make sense?
Right. You're going to get out of...
Like, if you're graduating from college, you worked hard to graduate from college. Not everyone graduates from college. Some people go... They don't finish. They drop out. They fail. Whatever. They flunk. How do you not make preschool graduation?
You don't.
I mean, how do you fail that you don't? So it's...
You can't fail preschool. I mean, you got to be really awful to fail preschool.
Right.
So I couldn't understand. I couldn't wrap my head around.
Well,
and apparently this is something that goes on. My point to them was 8th grade. That's a graduation.
Well,
even that's not even a graduation.
I think when you physically move schools, it's a graduation.
I'll give you that.
You leave the elementary school, you go to the middle school, you can have a graduation. You leave the middle school, go to high school, graduation.
If you
leave the high school, go to college, have a graduation.
If you
leave
go to
college,
a, if you go to a K-8, screw the 5th grade.
Okay.
Only if you're leaving buildings can you have a graduation.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think.
And
so.
Even then, I think even like 8th grade.
Well, preschool, you might be leaving a building, but it's still preschool. Like, what did you do?
No, you know what you do? Have lemonade and cookies and go goodbye. Good luck in kindergarten.
Right.
That's not a graduation.
I guess you could like get thrown out of preschool if you were like a demon child.
Stab a kid?
Yeah, I don't know if you like.
I don't
know
what you got to do.
Right.
So to me, that is what. Okay. But see, having a kindergarten graduation or first grade graduation is the pussification of America.
Kind of is.
You are turning these children into entitled and prized little, they need a clap and a cookie. And I understand that two comedians who expect people to laugh and applaud and hand them money when they speak. But it's still not every kid.
It's turning things that should be routine daily sort of signposts that we reach, you know, in our lives is now turning them into events to be celebrated.
Yeah.
When in fact, it dulls the impact of the real events that deserve celebrating. When you celebrate everything,
well, it's like a video game achievement. Nothing is worth anything anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you make everything has a graduation, why not graduate every day? Friday, we graduate. Monday, we're, you know, like...
We graduated from hump day.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, at some point, you got to just go do, like...
But you know what?
It's just another day.
You know what?
Another school year.
Every day is like National Potato Chip Day. National Taco the Pirate
Day. There are
day,
days, yeah.
National Hula Hoop Day. Fucking, how about it's Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday. That's your day.
How about that's what it is?
Celebrate.
And then tomorrow will be Thursday.
Yeah.
And then we'll wake me when it's fucking 4th of July.
Yeah.
I just stop having everything's a birthday, a party,
it
a
is,
celebration. We're going to have a preschool grad. You know what? They stopped smearing the paste directly on their face.
Right.
They started actually drawing with the crayons instead of just eating them.
They actually have to use the bathroom.
Do you know what I mean?
And not wear diapers.
But if you're still shitting in a bag, it's not a graduation from anything.
You're only graduating from that. I don't know.
Would you reward kids for that shit? We didn't have preschool graduation, right?
I can't remember. I don't know.
We were little.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's not for the kids anyway. The kids could give a fuck.
That's the other thing I hate about it.
Kids could give a fuck.
Ain't for the kids.
No.
It's for you. And stop it. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
You have a child, not a fucking prince or a miracle. Mm-hmm. The need to have a preschool graduation for the parents is bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, it's probably just, I don't know, you know, kids, you have a party for kids.
Sure.
All the time.
Go ahead and have a party. Have the last day of preschool.
Well, that's what I mean.
Say,
you can have the last day of preschool party.
You have the last day of preschool.
I think I remember those. I mean, remember the last... Wasn't the last day of school a party of some kind?
Sure.
Was it or was it a test?
What is it? What it's the throne room scene in Star Wars and we're going to pin a medal on a Wookiee? What the fuck is this? Kindergarten graduation.
Oh.
Go to the first grade. Keep learning your letters. Fucking, you know, when you can explain to me near and far, then we'll talk.
All right.
I know that's something I get. That's just an example of one petty thing I get insanely upset about.
But, you know, I mean, you know, when you give people your, you know, there are things that you just have to swallow your own opinion. Keep your personal opinion
to
yourself.
I know, and I couldn't keep that one in, and I realized, like, I kind of have to do that around.
And who did you say that to, then?
My mother-in-law and sister-in-law. And
what do they think of you? What was the blowback?
They're too nice to say anything.
Yeah.
But I then realized that I'm a freak because I actually couldn't hold back that I've been. Now, the brother-in-law kind of backed me up on it, was like, yeah, I kind of think that's dumb.
Wow.
And so at least, like, we were in agreement on that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if they give you you give them your opinion. They hold back from giving them your opinion of you.
Well, whatever.
Which is, you know, you're probably like, well, why don't you shut up, you asshole? If that's what they're thinking.
You know what the other thing is?
Yeah.
I can take your opinion of me.
I guess. I mean, that's fine.
I mean
and you know what? There is something to be said for a more functional relationship or even, you know, a family relationship, whatever, when people are honest about what they think of each other. And people say, Corey, you're a fucking asshole. That might make your relationship better with those people than worse. But people don't want to do it because they're afraid of what the ramifications are.
People are going to think I'm a fucking asshole no matter what.
Okay.
I have people that, like, used to do open mics 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Who still lash out at me and post things online. Because
about you're a dick, yeah.
Apparently I held them back.
You were not nice to them back then.
This is my family, so I have to, like...
Sure. Well, yeah, you have to have a...
But that was just a moment where I slipped up and had an opinion about something, and I realized, I'm like, oh, I got to calm that down.
Yeah, you know, it is weird, though, because, I mean, I guess I've been at family...
I'm just used to hanging out with people.
No, I know.
And something comes up, and you go, oh, that's fucking bullshit. And you realize that there's situations...
But I'll do that. Like, we'll watch TV, and I'll see something like a dumb commercial. Like, if I'm at a family function, and I'll go, isn't that the dumbest thing? Haven't you ever... You know, and people, like... And then I realize some people, like, aren't even giving it any thought.
No.
Whatsoever. It never crossed their mind to challenge whatever they're telling you
right.
is the next best, you know, brand of soup or whatever they're pushing on television.
Well,
and they're telling you this is the greatest thing ever, and I'm going,
okay, but see, when then people go, hey, I want to see that $1 million arm.
Yeah.
I have to sit there and just go,
okay.
Well, good for you. I really, because people don't ask me about, they don't, no one comes up and goes, hey, Day for Night, is that better than, AmeriCord?
Sure. No one's talking classic.
No, you know what I mean? They're
you.
Like, one or two things I know about her. Should I watch that first or should I watch Masculine Feminine? No one comes up and fucking asks me.
I don't even, would never even know.
About Jean-Luc Godard.
Okay.
You know what
but
I mean?
You, but why don't you go up to them and go, well, what did you see? And tell me what you saw and tell me what you
Because I would have
about.
To care about their opinion.
I know, but it might be a better entranceway. I know when people come up to you, and it's the same thing when you're a comedian, people say, come tell me a joke.
Right.
When people come up to you and say, Corey, give me a movie review, it puts you on point.
Did you see that video from Sarah? Was it Nikki and Sarah?
I know the Nikki and Sarah show.
She put up Sarah, I think.
Oh, it was like don't
things to not
things
ask
to not
a
say
comedian.
To I right. saw that it was posted. And I didn't actually
All right,
physically
that's a good
watch
video.
The video.
That's a good video.
Okay, I'll plug that. I guess sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go watch that. But what not to say to a
that's
comedian.
That's a good video. Watch it and learn the message.
Well,
because
without having seen that video, I'll tell you. You know, we don't want to tell you a joke,
right.
For no reason. If you want a joke, what I've learned as a comedian, if you want to really do it. Is just memorize some street jokes, which for some reason my brain doesn't retain those very well.
No.
And just tell them one of those.
Here's a street joke.
Like, I'll tell them, like, a Gilbert joke or something. Yeah. Like, one of the, which, you know, I don't know if Gilbert writes those jokes he tells or if he just tells them.
Either way. Those are notebook jokes.
Okay, and that's
those
fine.
Those are jokes from the Don.
And that's fine.
Sonny Elliott, the late, great news weatherman guy.
Yes.
Sonny Elliott was a Detroit weatherman who was funny.
Yeah.
And he was on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Sonny Elliott here, and he'd do like a whole the time is exactly, and he'd do a whole shticky bit about, you know, it's colder than an Eskimo sitting on a narwhal. Anyway, one of the guys at Fox 2 told me that Sonny had a file box of 8x10 cards, right?
With all his jokes,
and they were like leathered,
Borscht
belt.
They were like
you know what I mean? They were yellowed and like taped, covered with like
and
scotch
you remember
tape.
Those are the jokes
and. They were the same jokes from, like, the Eisenhower administration, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Guy did television for, like, 60 years and radio. And you know, Murray went, and what's with the, wow, those are really old, aren't they?
He's yeah.
Like, hey, you'll learn the business someday, kid. He's just like, Sonny Elliott
he's the guy, he
had
always,
the stock
he,
jokes.
And I met him once. I took a college tour. I was in a college writing class. And we went to the Fox 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was Fox 2, and it was a bunch of radio stations, too, were in the same building, WWJ, the news station, and some other stations. And we got to sit with Sonny for a minute, and he told us some old jokes. And, you know, the guy was full of old jokes.
And that's what those guys, and I'm sure Rickles knows every street.
Yeah, so that's maybe something you need to have in the repertoire.
Here's a good one.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the guy who had sex on an ATM?
No, I did not hear about the guy who had sex on an ATM.
He came into some money.
Hey-o!
Da-da-da-da-da.
Guy had sex on an
ATM. But that's a street joke. That's a anybody can tell.
That should be our show, by the way.
Street jokes?
It's us just telling street jokes to each other.
We'll get like a, where's that Milton Berle's?
I've got a couple of them. They're
journal of.
Go get the, I have the Friars Club inside. Do you know where it is? I can get it. I can find it. It's on the, I think it's on the bottom shelf in that bookcase in the other room. You want me to get it or did you want to get it?
You know where it is.
I know where it is. I'll get you that and then we'll tell jokes.
Oh, God.
But that's something, that we should do that more.
Don't ever ask a film critic about their opinions about Adam Sandler movies, folks, because you don't want to know what I think about Adam Sandler movies. I did not see Blended, the new Adam Sandler movie, and I feel very good about it, even though it co-starred Drew Barrymore, who has been in some of the more watchable of the Adam Sandler. What, I'm losing my mind. The Adam Sandler canon. Because he had 50 First Dates and The Wedding Singer. But I did not see Blended, so don't ask me about Blended. Don't come up to me on the street and go, did you see Blended? Because I don't like Blended.
Yeah.
No film critic likes Blended. No, I don't like
Blended. Well, I think, okay, this is the format that I think we can come up with. I think we just randomly open the Encyclopedia of Jokes, and then you just tell whatever, like a two-line joke. Some of these are long, you know, some of these are, you know, long jokes.
Straight jokes.
I do have a napkin which is marking a page in this.
All right.
I don't know why that
okay.
is.
Okay. Well, all right then.
All right, so we'll just do a one-line joke. I'll do one, and then I'll throw the book to you. You do one, but just open the book and do whatever short joke you do. Don't even read it first.
Sure, okay.
Read it on the air. Okay, here we go. I'm opening it to it. Well, this is more of a joke, or is it a statement fine? Like, this is just a funny statement, and it's attributed to the comedian. Is that okay? It's short.
I guess.
I don't mind men who kiss and tell. I need all the publicity I can get.
Phyllis Diller.
Ruth Buzzy.
Okay,
so there's the game.
Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy. There you go. Corey, send the encyclopedia over to Corey. And,
do you remember when, was that on the show? John Tenney gave me the book of Zingers from Hollywood Squares.
Oh, I don't know. I know. I think.
I'll bring that in next time.
But so just open it up, random page, and find a short two-line or one-line joke. And if it's attributed to somebody, we'll guess. But yeah, just open it at random. I know some pages don't have short jokes. All right.
What's the best thing about turning 65?
The best thing about turning 65, I don't know.
No more calls from the insurance salesman.
Is that attributed to anyone?
That is not.
Do you want to do another one or you want me to go?
Okay. I'll do another one. All right.
But I think they're by topic. So if you just turn one page, you're going to get another old joke. So.
Okay.
Here's
a good cat. Do you want to read the category?
Well, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll figure out the category when you tell the joke.
How about the new disease affecting Jewish women?
What's the new disease affecting Jewish women?
It's called MAIDS. If they don't get one, they die.
Hey-o!
Thank you.
Is that attributed to anyone?
The category is called Jewish American Princesses.
Okay, well, that's a good. You should know all about those.
I do. That's a term you don't hear anymore.
Yeah, it's an old term.
Like, Japs is not something that you talk about anymore.
Well, this is the Friars Club Encyclopedia.
I know, and people think that when you say Japs, they think you're talking about, you know, guys who want to sell you a Sony.
Old age must be the biggest chapter in here, because I got, this is, you want Milton Berle?
Go ahead.
Okay, I should have said, okay. He's so old, but when he orders a 3-minute egg, they ask for the money up front.
Hey now!
Hello. All right.
All right.
Doctor joke. And by the way, I've seen something called the Dirty Joke Show where they actually do this. It's our friend Geechee Guy who's been on the show.
Well, there's Jackie's Joke.
And Jackie's been part of the Dirty Joke Show, but he's part of the rotating cast. But Geechee's the thing. And Geechee will tell doctor jokes for 20 minutes. He'll tell like 50 doctors. It's amazing. Geechee's got a good mind for this. Okay. Mrs. Fishin walks into the doctor's office and says, "Doctor, my husband swallowed an alarm clock." The doctor says, "If he swallowed it, why did you come to the office?" She says, "Because he bit me when he tried to wind it."
All right. Well,
no, so right, she. Right. Well, wait, because he swallows it. So he bit me when I tried to wind it.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't even know. Do you want to do one more?
Yeah, you can't finish on that one. You got to get a little stronger finish.
Let's try. Voting in this election is like trying to decide which street mime to stop and watch.
All right.
That's attributed to the great, one of Saturday Night Live's all-time greats, A. Whitney Brown.
Oh.
So one of the all-time. One of the all-time legends over there on
Whitney Brown.
SNL. Yeah, you want to do another one? Go ahead.
I'm good.
Good. All right, thank you. And that shall end the old joke segment on Joel
it's
Radio.
It's a nice big book.
It is a nice. That was like one of those remainder, you know, that was like a $5 clearance book.
There's a lot of categories.
Yeah, the jokes are not very good on whole. But I thought, you know, like when I started doing.
Some of the jokes are attributed to Bill Kirkenbauer, so they can't.
Yeah, some of those are.
Just the 10 of us.
Well, you know what it is? When I started doing comedy, and it's actually advice I would give people if you want to do comedy, is I would look at those jokes to find rhythm, to find structure, and find that, you know, if you change whatever the joke is about and about the punchline, you can essentially steal the joke without stealing the joke. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's basic structure.
Yeah, there's basic structure, and it's just, you know, I tell people when they want to start, you know, start watching comedy. How much comedy do you watch? Well, I don't watch any. Well, you should watch.
Well,
them, you know?
I've watched too much, which leads us right into Last Comic Standing.
Okay, well, good. Well, okay, Last Comic Standing. Yeah, that came back last week.
Yeah.
This is, I don't even know. You'd have to Wikipedia, because I did this, how many seasons this is. And it's more than you think.
When did it start?
It's more than you remember. Yeah, it's more than you remember, and it's kind of sad looking back at the old Last Comic Standings and go, boy, they fucked this show up and it was terrible and the guys who won
are
not
funny. I'm going to pull up who won.
Oh, I've recently looked at the Wikipedia, so it may not be that interesting. It might be more interesting for me to pick it up, pull it up, and you to guess.
All right.
Would you rather do that?
All right. Yeah, you pull it up and then tell me who won. Because I remember a couple of the winners.
What if I give you a list of the cast?
And I pick the winner?
And then you pick the winner out of...
One we know because he's a guy we know.
Right, right, right. But I'll tell you the seasons and then... Mm-hmm. All right, this is Last Comic Standing. This current season of Last Comic Standing is season 8.
Okay.
The last season was season 7 in 2010. The show started in 2003.
Okay.
So here you go, all right?
2003, so we're now on the 11 years.
11 years, yeah. So, well, should I go right to season 2? Season 1, I think you remember.
Season 1, Dat Fan...
One, yeah. He beat.
But the other people in that first season cast.
Well, okay, here's who he beat, who I think are famous comedians
Corey
now.
Corey Kahaney.
Right. Here's what I'll give to you. Ralphie May is probably the most famous guy that was on season one, okay? Because he's a touring headliner. You see him everywhere. He does theaters, okay. Rich Voss, still working clubs. Mm-hmm. You see him. Corey Kahaney, I don't even remember who that was, really. She was sort of the Jewy old lady, like a middle-aged Jewish lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Tess, who was a black girl. Jeff Brown, who was a black guy. I don't remember him. Dave Mordale, who was funny. I don't know what happened to Dave Mordale's comedy career.
Nothing and, after that show.
Okay. So that was season one. Terry Joyce and Sean Kent, whoever that is. Never heard of from them again. Okay. Okay, season... Okay, let's... Do you want a season two? Try not to look at this.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not looking at it.
Okay. Well, I think you know. Okay, here's I'm gonna give you the list of names, all famous names, at least in my opinion. Okay, Todd Glass. How did Todd Glass do? You think?
Well, Todd Glass did not win.
He was out on episode. He was the second guy gone. Bonnie McFarland
went out the fifth episode.
She was the first one out.
Oh,
comedian Ant, the gay comic.
One.
He was out week 3.
Oh.
Kathleen Madigan.
Did they bring Ant back? They must have.
He was a judge eventually.
Kathleen Madigan.
Now, maybe? She is one of the biggest touring comics in the country.
Week 6.
Maybe the top female comedian, like club comic anyway.
What'd she go to? Week 6?
She was about out in the middle, yeah. She was out. It was technically episode 13, which was the second. There was 15 episodes. She was out on 13.
Okay.
Gary Gulman.
Gary Goldman's still working.
Yeah, he's still a famous guy. He was eliminated in the finals, as was Alonzo Bowden.
Who's probably the most famous of those.
And John Heffron won, who we know, and who's been on this show.
Okay, there you go.
So John Heffron's won.
And I would imagine Bowden is probably maybe a little even more famous than John.
Alonzo Bowden does a lot of TV stuff, at least. Yeah. You see him on there. I mean, I'd argue Kathleen Madigan's the biggest star in this
group. Right, right. Well, that's a pretty good lineup.
It's not a bad lineup.
And then John got a boost out of it.
Do you want to do the best of the best?
Sure.
This is season 3, which apparently I never saw.
Oh, so they took... you know what happened? Right after Heffron won, they did an all-star
season. They did one right, yeah.
And it kind of killed the show.
It kind of killed the show, but here's the lineup. Who's your winner, Corey, amongst... Ralphie May, Dat Fan, Gary Gulman, Rich Voss, John Heffron, Dave Mordale, Tammy Pescatelli. It was just everybody from the first two seasons.
I think Alonzo won that one.
Alonzo Bowden won that one, yeah. So there you go.
All right.
Well,
I'm remembering much more of Last Comic Standing.
Season 4. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you who's famous. Okay, here's...
How long was it between that season and season 4?
2 years. It was 2006.
And then each time it has a new producer
and
a
new host.
Show
yeah, I'm
runner.
Trying to remember. Anthony Clark was hosting season 4.
Oh, Christ.
So Jay Moore is out at this point.
Anthony Clark, after hosting Last Comic Standing, was imprisoned for hate crimes against American comedy for the show Yes, Dear.
Yeah, he was. He's not good. Okay. So here's the guys who, in my opinion, are famous guys that were on season 4, and then I'll tell you who won, okay?
All right, then.
All right. Bill Dwyer.
Okay.
Kind of. We know Bill.
I know Bill Dwyer.
And he's gone on, but he was out on week, the second episode of Eliminations, of Bill Dwyer goes out. He was eliminated with a guy named Joey Gay, who I'm still friendly with, because he does the Gathering of the Juggalos. He's out of New York, and I love Joey. He's a great guy. Not a super famous guy. He was on ICP Theater this past season. Okay, the most famous guy on this season probably was Gabriel Iglesias, who is Fluffy.
Now he's got a big career.
Big Latino career.
Literally a big
Big guy. Right. He was eliminated fifth on the show. Chris Porter, who's a fairly famous guy now. You see, he has a special on Netflix, I think, right now, and he's kind of hot, and he recently headlined the Comedy Castle. Mm-hmm. He was the third guy to the top, and Josh Blue won.
The guy with the cerebral palsy.
He beat a guy named Ty Barnett, who I don't think we've really, nothing's really happened to him. All right, let's go on to season five.
Was there another break after season four?
This is 2007. Bill Bellamy is now the host, so the Anthony Clark era is over.
All this horrible Last Comic Standing memories are coming.
Okay, so now tell me who's good on this one. It's let's see, I'm trying to look for. Okay, here's famous names that did not win. Okay, Doug Benson.
Wow.
Doug Benson was the fourth guy.
I don't think I saw this season.
Didn't even make it to the middle. Okay. I'm trying to see who else is famous. Is Lavelle Crawford famous?
Not really.
Okay, here's she finished fourth. Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer was the biggest.
Was fourth, and the whole thing was won by John Reap,
yeah.
Who at the time was the Hemi guy.
Is that got a Hemi?
Got a Hemi in it. Yeah. So he was.
I remember there was a girl on there who was a Korean girl who had been doing comedy for 6 months.
Gina Yashiri,
and everybody was mad about her.
I don't know who that even would have been. Okay.
This is crazy.
Let's move on to the next one. No, I think you're thinking, might be thinking of Esther Koo on season six.
Ooh, Esther.
Is that who you were thinking
Koo,
of?
That's it.
Esther Koo got the hook in episode eight. She was the first one out along with God's Pottery, which was.
Oh, God. It took.
Wasn't that a duo? This
was a duo. It took eight episodes to hook somebody.
And I'm thinking of who's even famous from this. Now, this one, I don't think. I think actually the person who won this might be the most famous. It was won by Eliza Schlesinger.
All right. She's friends with Newberg.
I think I've met her. She's done the Comedy Castle.
Yeah.
Farron Cotton was the host.
Who?
Farron Cotton. She's an Irish TV presenter.
And she's like a BBC.
Yeah. She's
Farron
a DJ.
Cotton. Yeah.
Farron Cotton. I'm saying it right.
Right. They say it like Farron.
I say it like a fucking guy, a fat guy from America says it. I'm a fat guy in America who's trying, okay?
No.
She got a fucked up name. Don't fucking get mad at me.
No, I just had to do it in the voice.
I'm not mad at you.
I just had to do it in the voice I've heard it in.
Well.
Because it was on BBC Radio.
I like that yours is accurate and mine is stupid. And
yours isn't stupid. I just had to say what it was.
Okay, and everybody else you never heard from.
You're a beautiful. Look, hey.
Listen.
Joel.
Hey, Corey, why do you have to critique everything? Do you have to critique everything?
I'm going
to how I pronounce Fern? You got a problem with?
I'm going to issue you this preschool graduation.
Thank you. Yes.
You're going to get a medal for your pronunciation of Farron Cotton.
You notice we never graduate from podcasting?
Wish we would.
They have to give us a television show, and then we'll graduate from podcasting. Okay, let's move on.
Jeez.
And nobody famous on the show. Marcus was number two. I've never heard of him. I don't think I even watched his show. Louis Ramey, who I know. I think you know Louis.
I've worked with Louis.
But he's not a real famous guy. He was five. Papa CJ, Paul Foote.
Who?
I don't even know. Let's get away from season six.
That's a terrible season. Who won that?
Eliza Schlesinger.
Okay, Eliza.
She was the winner. Okay. So now we get into season 7 in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Again, famous names. Guy who won, maybe not as famous. Okay. Roy Wood Jr. is on this season.
Okay.
Roy is on, isn't he on, what's this TBS sitcom? Isn't he not on that? Sullivan and Sons?
Oh, you know, I don't watch
I think
that,
he might be on Sullivan and Sons.
I'll take your word.
Tommy Jonigan was the runner-up.
Tommy Jonigan.
You see him on everything. Mike Kaplan was a runner-up.
MYQ.
Rachel Feinstein. Is she famous? The name's
No, but you'll see her.
You'll see her on stuff?
You know what? Amy Schumer's show. Every comic is on that.
Well, yeah, she puts lots of girls on that.
Well, it's every comic, and you'll go... Hey, look at that. It's Tad Alexander.
Yeah, you'll see Tad on that.
Yeah.
Lori Kilmartin. She's kind of well known, right? And she was eliminated.
All
very
these
early
people
on.
Have gotten. This is
but
fairly
it was,
recent.
It was won by Felipe Esparza. He's kind of a crazy looking Mexican American guy. A big
was this now hair. The Andy Kindler, Greg Giraldo? And
this
Joshua
was
Jaro
the.
Who hosted?
Greg Giraldo, Natasha Leggero, and Andy Kindler were the judges, which is probably the best panel of judges they could have had.
It's the best panel of judges they had.
And it was hosted by Craig Robinson.
Oh.
So I gave up on that. And then even the guys that were eliminated earlier, guys like Jimmy Dore, Kirk Fox, Jim David.
Well, Kirk Fox is now doing the funniest show on television.
Brian McKim. Oh, yeah, the test with I think we've talked about that, haven't we, Kirk Fox? That's a weird fucking show for him.
I mean, a gig's a gig.
Nikki Glaser was on that season and eliminated. So, yeah, anyway.
All right, was that the last season before they
Before this one, yeah, and that was in 2010. Right. And
well, so the show's going through like what five different reboots.
The big gay guy, Guy Branum, who we saw on that, is a favorite. He's a regular on Chelsea lately,
right?
So he might be a little bit of a ringer. But you watched, I think pretty much the whole episode one. Now I caught you up on what you missed.
And your new judging panel.
Oh my God!
Your judging panel is Roseanne, who I give her credit. Look.
Well,
Roseanne's bona fides in show business, I can't argue with. Whether she annoys me is another story. Okay.
Roseanne is probably the most successful female comedian. I'm off the top of my head. Successful female comedian to do a sitcom, right? Isn't she? Whose sitcom was bigger than that sitcom?
Not for a female
lead. Yeah, no, I don't think anyone was. I mean, you could say, you know, Carol Burnett or one of those was bigger, but Vicki Lawrence
or
somebody.
Really,
but yeah, they really were stand-ups. So I think Roseanne is the biggest female stand-up comic to have a television show. She is the Seinfeld of sitcom women, okay? Yeah. Bigger than,
her stand-up act, she's the one they always talk about.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson could make your career.
Yeah.
She did one set on Carson and got
She was on one of the Rodney Young comedian shows where they did a gimmick. If you go back and watch, if you find this on HBO Comedy or something, she was in the audience and she heckled Rodney and said, "How come you don't put guys up?" I can't remember if it was the Kinison year or the Dice year, but it was one of those. And it was one of the real famous ones, you know, where it was Kinison or Dice broke out. And Roseanne was another. She came out
that
of the crowd.
That one year of Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comics.
Yeah, we can go back and look at those, too.
Those are great if you want to watch those.
If you want to go back,
you're like, oh, it's Bill Hicks and fucking Emo Phillips.
Yeah, you'll see superstars, and then you'll see, like, oh, that's Judd Apatow. And like, what is he doing?
Or you'll see the guy that didn't make it.
Yeah, you see the guy.
It's Dan Fingerburn. And you're like, well, sorry.
Tonight, it's Ray Romano.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Allen.
Right. Dom Herrera, Damon Wayans,
and Marty Fixstein.
Marty Fixstein, yeah, there Marty. He is.
I just fell out of my chair on Marty Fixstein. Marty Fixstein almost made me go ass over Tico.
It's so sad, though. You feel so bad for Dan Fingerbaum and
really
Marty
do.
Fixstein. You're like,
God
damn it. It's like,
guys.
It's Bill Maher. It's like, everybody's a fucking giant in show business except Marty Fixstein.
Adam Sandler.
Right.
Norm McDonald. Right.
Sarah Silverman. It's like everybody but the one guy. Can you imagine being that fucking poor hump that's on there like, you're on the Young Comics special? Yeah, I was
Johnny Two Apples. Didn't you remember me? I was on that, the gimmick, you know.
I was in between Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams.
Right, the Young Comedian special, and it's just some guy you never hear from again. That's too bad. So, all right, let's, so Last Comic Standing this year comes out. Okay, so Roseanne, by the way, I think Roseanne is on the show. Here's why Roseanne's the judge.
Because they need a woman?
She's the biggest name associated with the show this year. They needed a name. She's a television star who hasn't done, as far as I can remember, a network primetime show since Roseanne left. She's a good get to put the name above the title. They cut to her every goddamn 2 seconds It's Roseanne's show. Right. The show is built around her. That's the way I see it.
Well, Wanda Sykes is the producer.
Oh, is she? Okay.
And
so,
I'm thanking you, Wanda,
that she's not
for not putting yourself on.
She's going to be one of the mentors they showed. Okay. So she's going to be one of the celebrity mentors with Howie Mandel.
The rest of your panel is
Amy Schumer. Okay.
Is Keenan Wayans.
Yes.
Who I can't recall being a stand-up. I know he must have been.
He did. There's a history of the improv
I saw
documentary.
That. Yeah.
He's all over that fucking thing.
But like his brother Damon is the one we think of as
the great stand-up.
The stand-up.
The guy's Damon Wayans is a very good stand-up for a while. don't know what happened to him. But
You know what?
He made a lot of bad movies, unfortunately.
I hate to say this, but other than Cosby, who has some allegations of shenanigans with women, black guys usually can't handle the fame.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah, black stand-up comics don't have long...
I mean, Kevin Hart seems like he's got a plan to win.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like these guys... Okay.
Cat Williams.
Sure. Cat Williams is still big, though. He went through his thing, but he's back kind of back now.
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. Is Martin Lawrence out of... Is he still
not in movies. He's done
no, but I mean, is he still a working... Like, does he do clubs? Does he try?
Dave Chappelle.
Because, I mean, well, first of all, Eddie Murphy retires.
Yeah.
So Eddie Murphy is the bar that you get to that level of fame and then you do something else or whatever.
Right.
Okay, I mean, Pryor did stand up for most of... I don't know how much Pryor toured at the end.
Right.
But Pryor, you know, he didn't really tour, but he did his specials.
He'd show up at the Comedy Store.
But
okay,
Martin Lawrence.
If you want to talk about a stability in a career, Richard Pryor's not a good place to start.
Okay. So, in the wake of Eddie Murphy, the next big star is who?
Chris Rock
and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Now it's going to give you Martin. Damon, I was going to give him Damon Wayans, Martin Lawrence.
Those guys are all about the same vintage, right?
Arsenio was in there too as a stand-up. I mean, Arsenio was known as a stand-up before he did that awful show.
He was.
And he kind of gave up stand-up to do that.
I remember as a kid, back in the 80s when there was like all these Evening at the Improv.
Yeah.
And every
MTV had one. With,
MTV's Half-Hour Comedy Hour.
That's where I saw David Spade for the first time.
There was
on
one
that,
from Caroline's.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of what we call brick wall shows
that
were just stand-up.
Sure.
I remember Arsenio being on one of them, and he did a bit about how the Boston Celtics were the ugliest basketball team in the world and how Kevin McHale looked like Frankenstein. Yeah. And I remember dying laughing. And he said a bit about how Dennis Johnson was so ugly that if pussy rolled by, they had to push him down in the bus.
And you love that.
And I thought, but I was 11 or 12. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
But did you love it because you were 11 or 12? Or did you love it because it was funny at the time?
It was funny to me at the time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I remember Arsenio as a stand-up. And
I remember Arsenio as a stand-up.
I thought he was funny back then.
Right. But Arsenio gets a show, he's out. Damon Wayans.
Well, Arsenio, what I'm saying is, Arsenio's an example. He lost his career for a while, but I don't remember him ever having a drug problem. I'm saying... A lot of times, there's a lot of comics with problems.
Yeah, a lot of comics.
Most
give
comics
up
have
doing
a problem. But I think sometimes when you become the top black comedian, you generally end up smoking a crack pipe or something, right?
Like, black comics and you know they end up becoming. And this happens with rappers too. We were talking about this on the phone the other day about black famous.
It's a different thing.
You become in the black community the voice of the generation when you're the top rapper or the top comic. Right. And guys can't deal with that. Guys just go like, oh, fuck this shit. I can't deal with it.
I want to go do an inner city club and do this bit.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how it sucks to be a white guy and be famous because, you know, no one's calling Michael Keaton right now and going, hey, what's going on?
Sure.
But yet Morris Chestnut can roll up and do BET anytime he wants.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, the equivalent is like, you know, they didn't like, I don't know, who was a big, like Vanilla Ice. Okay, he's a white guy. Okay.
Is he?
Well, he's a name like Vanilla Ice. White guy. If Vanilla Ice was a black guy, they would have given Vanilla Ice sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be Vanilla Ice everything. Vanilla Ice would be doing this, that, and the other thing. But
you're saying Vanilla Ice did not get opportunities.
He did do movies. He
now,
did do Cool as Ice.
He did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He did the Teenage Mutant
Secret of the Ooze.
Okay.
He did Go Ninja, Go
My
Ninja,
point is
go.
They a lot of these black people, and not all of them, because there's guys like MC Hammer, but he had more of a white appeal than a black appeal.
Hammer's
but
the
I'm
one...
talking the real black, the black, for the guys who aren't crossover stars,
Ice
but
T.
The guys who are black stars. Ice-T, yes.
Still famous. Ice-T got a
but
reality show.
But they let Ice-T do whatever, exactly.
But, I mean, he's got a reality show about how big his wife's ass is.
But there's nothing that Ice-T, they'll let Ice-T do anything. If they had a black hospital, Ice-T would be operating right now. You know what I mean? They'll let Ice-T do anything. There's nothing Ice-T can't do. Ice-T shows up. They let Ice-T pave the road.
I'm seeing Ice-T.
Exactly.
Do it in the scrubs.
They will let Ice-T rap. They'll let him act. They'll let him do whatever. Ice-T can do no wrong. All these guys. I mean, even the Queen Latifah we talk about. They put her in everything. She had
name a Queen Latifah.
Yeah, I said name a Queen Latifah to you, and you said...
UNITY.
Okay, so she had one hit that anyone can remember. Okay. They put her. They let her do everything. Right. Sitcoms.
You know who's not. You know who's not getting anything in show business right now? Rick Astley.
Yeah, exactly. He was a guy.
White people don't make one hit wonders famous.
Right. But in the black community, like, you become a brand. You become a personality. Right. And the black community is like, they trust. If they trust you.
I still see Tone Loke on shit.
Sure. Yeah. Like, if they trust you.
Right.
In that community, they let you do whatever because they like you. And they just go, like, he can act.
Do you know?
He can do this. You know?
Mike Epps.
Yeah, Mike Epps.
Gets every fucking movie. Hold on. I'm going to IMDb.
Pull up Mike Epps. He's in every little thing, right?
And I want you to guess the number of movies Mike Epps has been in.
Is it going to give you an actual number?
Yeah. You can look at their filmography.
Yeah, but I mean, is in the number... Okay.
Isn't the number what? No, you can find
out. No, but isn't the number...
They break it down by actor.
But isn't it like walk-ons and stuff, though, are included in that? So I think you want to talk about, like...
All right.
Because I know Mike Epps is, like, in the Hangover. He was in Hangover 1 and 3, I think. Mm. I don't think he was in Hangover 2, but...
How many movies do you think Jim Carrey has made?
Jim Carrey's made 27 movies.
All right. That's my prediction. All right. Jim Carrey has made 52 films.
Okay.
His credits...
That's more than I
How many
expect.
Has Mike Epps made?
I guess he's made more than 52.
46.
All right.
They're very fucking close.
Jim Carrey's kind of been famous for 25 years. Yeah.
What I'm saying is there's very... Mike Epps
has been famous for 5 years, and he's already matched the output.
They're like eight titles away
I'm with you.
I'm saying you get a lot of opportunities.
They put you in everything. Yeah, they put you in everything.
Right.
All right.
Being black famous lasts forever.
It does.
Tisha Campbell still riding that Martin.
There are people who, you know, like, look at like a guy like Drake now.
Well, sure.
Like, Drake's making sneakers.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Who needs a... Who wants a Drake sneaker? I mean, the Drake everything.
You know
but
who,
these guys got...
You know
these
who's
guys,
got $3 billion now?
Yeah. Dre makes headphones. Dre makes headphones. 50 Cent Vitamin Water. He made, like, $1 billion from Vitamin Water. It's unbelievable that the guys... Like, if somebody said to you, Corey Hall, Tom Petty wants you to drink this water... You're going to go tell Tom Petty to go fuck himself. Hey, Tom, go fuck your redneck self. Shove your water up your ass, you country bumpkin faggot. That's what you would say to Tom Petty. That's pretty much exactly what you would say to Tom Petty.
You know what? They should put that on the water.
What's it? Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, you country bumpkin faggot, says Corey Hall.
That's what the Tom Petty water, you would go fuck yourself. But when 50 Cent to drink my water.
I don't really think of Tom Petty as a country bumpkin.
He is. He's from Gainesville, Florida.
I know.
Or
I guess
right?
I don't think of him that.
He's in Gainesville.
And I know when he talks, he's kind of... Hey,
yeah,
you know,
well,
he's
Florida's way. He's WT, man.
Yeah.
He's WT.
I always think of him...
I like Petty. I've been to some Petty shows.
I always think
Petty's
of him as a
guy
from, like, Pennsylvania.
Petty's a redneck.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's not... You know, he's a Florida redneck. They're different rednecks.
Bumpkin.
But he's still a redneck.
Redneck... Oh, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Florida is... Rednecks, Cubans, and old Jews.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Florida's a fucked up place. That's a weird place. I kind of like Florida when I'm there, but then I go, yeah, I don't want to live here.
Oh, you don't want to live in Florida.
I like Florida. I like when I'm living in a hotel in Florida.
Well, you want to?
That's good living.
Here's when you like Florida.
Yeah, by the pool.
February.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you love Florida.
I took that 2-week fucking tour of one-nighters in Florida. Like, as soon as I featured the castle, okay? My first feature, I made a tape, and I sent that tape out, and I right away got booked in Florida for 2 weeks to feature. And I did the worst gigs in the history of stand-up comedy. And not only were they bad because they were bad venues and stuff, I was terrible at these things. Because you imagine, you know, you go to small towns even in Michigan and stuff, and they kind of don't get you. Imagine Florida hillbillies trying to get your stuff. It was the worst gigs. But I'm telling you, I was going from hotel to hotel, from pool to pool. From beach, from Gulf Coast to Atlantic Coast, having the time of my life in the sun every day, driving my Thunderbird all over Florida, listening to music, having a fucking gay old time. I loved it.
Well, good.
Loved it. Hated the gigs. Hated the people. But, boy, you put me in those hotels and
it's lovely.
Take me to the beach.
It's lovely, but you get my Florida tolerance is about 3 days.
Sure. That's what I mean. Like, I enjoy Florida visiting. Sure. If I could live in the Marriott in Orlando, I would go live there.
Like, I could easily live in California, and I wish I did.
Okay.
I could totally hang out in Cali, but Florida, forget
Florida,
it.
No. Forget too much nonsense. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know of any. Is there a place in Florida that's, like, cool at all?
No.
Like, there's just no, like, college town,
I mean,
where people
I'm
go,
sure
like.
There's, like, parts of Miami.
Like, Fort Lauderdale,
but,
maybe?
Miami,
Tampa?
Miami, I don't think of as, like.
I think Orlando might be the most.
No.
No,
Orlando's
no
like. It's like Columbus.
Because I've been to Orlando.
Yeah, it's like.
And I've hung out in downtown Orlando, and I thought it was. Had a little smattering of hip to it.
It's like Columbus, Ohio with warmer weather.
I don't know.
It's not cool.
Right. Because, you know, you think about, you know, like, well, you go to, like, you know, yeah. like in Austin, Texas. You go, like, you wouldn't want to live in Texas. Texas is full of assholes, right? It's full of
steers.
Austin's
the one
But then you go to Austin,
right,
and that's
right.
nirvana for hipsters.
Sure.
So you could live there.
Right.
You the state of Illinois would make you want, if you had to live in Illinois, you would fucking cut your balls off.
I'd rather eat a bar of soap than live in Houston.
But Chicago, like, you'd love Chicago.
I like Chicago.
The rest, Decatur, you can go fuck itself.
Well, that's the most extreme example
sure.
of any.
But even New York, you wouldn't want to live in all. Would you?
In these United States,
yeah.
And I've been to most of them.
Okay.
I want to say there's still like Wyoming.
Yeah.
And maybe Alaska. But like I've been to most
okay.
states. The biggest disparity between one portion of the state and the entire rest of the state.
Yeah.
Is Chicago.
You're probably right.
That is because the second you get out of Greater Chicago,
yeah.
that state is a garbage fire.
It is. Illinois sucks.
It is the
shit. The small towns in Illinois.
I swear
blow.
To fucking Christ, I like Montana better.
Illinois is actually worse than Indiana in ways. Like
yeah.
The small towns in Illinois, they just seem so removed and so like.
Well, Indiana's got South Bend.
Yeah.
And it's got college towns.
Indianapolis. And yeah, they've got all those universities.
Okay.
Yeah.
That Chicago
yeah.
is it.
Well, that's where, you know.
Fucking Decatur, Dansville.
We did all those.
Champaign.
Well, where I went every
Champaign's
year.
Champaign's the college town and it
for
sucks.
Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah.
We went down to Cavin Rock, Illinois, and we hung out in all those small towns around there, like Harrisburg, and there's yeah. nothing going on in those towns. And I've driven all over southern Illinois.
Like,
it's terrible.
Like, Wisconsin is a state I generally find pleasant.
Yeah.
Even when you're in the
country. I've only ever been to Milwaukee.
Even,
I've been from, you know,
even when
Chicago
you're in
Milwaukee.
The country in,
yeah.
in Wisconsin, yeah. it's kind of like not. It's farm country, but it's not like the country.
You know what I want to stop you and say?
What?
We're talking about why Keenan Ivory Wayans is a judge.
Oh.
We are not focused at all tonight. We're doing the show late at night. Sometimes we do the show during the
All right, let's get back to Last Comic
Standing. How did we get
I mean, I'm talking about the cheese.
I was talking about
Wisconsin.
Tom. We were talking about Black Famous. I brought up Tom Petty. You turned it into a Florida riff.
Well,
now we're talking about Chicago.
The other thing you can do, by the other thing you
are
can
we,
do.
Are we done with Last Comic
Well, okay. Now, white people have a couple famous families.
Okay.
The Baldwins.
The Baldwins.
The Judds.
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
over time we had the Osmonds
right.
and, you know.
But generally the only famous families are royalty.
The Barrymores.
Okay. All right. Black people, though, they got
Acting
fucking
dynasty.
Famous families all over the place.
They do, yes.
Where it's like Chris Rock's brothers are doing comedy.
They are, yeah. Tony and
right.
Some other
Eddie,
guy.
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
The Wayans brothers.
There's 50 Wayans.
There's 50 Wayans. There's two sisters nobody remembers. Kim Wayans. And
they were all on that show.
Right,
too.
Right. They're all in Living Color.
I like the Sean, who's in all those movies now.
Right.
Was like the DJ.
Right.
You remember, he's SW1.
S1W. Yeah.
Oh, it was SW1 or.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever it was. SW1.
Do you know who wrote the early in Living Color? You know, the white guy who was on the
Chili Chalice.
Robert Schimmel.
Oh, Robert
Schimmel. Robert Schimmel was on set.
Sorry.
Schimmel.
I threw out the name of a
Schimmel.
Of a
Schimmel.
Guy.
Yeah. Why would you bring up Chili?
I don't know.
Robert Schimmel was a guy, and Robert tells a story about how, like, you know, J Lo was one of the what were the dancers called? The In Living
the Fly
Color
Girls.
The Fly Girls. And he said he would have lunch every day with Jennifer Lopez Schimmel,
mm-hmm.
and then when Jennifer Lopez became Jennifer Lopez, Schimmel ran into her and she wouldn't talk to him
right,
anymore.
Right.
What a bitch.
Of course.
God damn it.
She seems like a person I would want to never have any exposure to.
Well, she's another one, and she's not black famous, but they put her in everything.
Yeah.
Don't let Jennifer Lopez do whatever.
Well, Latino famous is a different
It is. It's
thing.
A little different, yeah.
But George Lopez still popular.
But it is a thing in Latino and amongst blacks where comedians, though, hold a higher standing in that culture than white comedians do.
Well,
in
just,
a sense, right? Because there's
just fewer of them.
Well, yeah, but don't you agree that like Jay Leno, as being one of the, or even like Seinfeld is one of the top white comedians, is not considered an important guy politically. He's just a funny man. He exists for that purpose. Whereas the black comedian, the top black comic, has more of a certain role in the community and is more of a voice of the people.
It's not as much as it used to be.
Yeah.
30 years ago, you're completely right.
Yeah.
Like, well, Cosby got into that.
Sure. Yeah.
Cosby was like famous.
And Richard Pryor was too.
And
you
probably,
know, you know.
Flip Wilson and Cosby were the first two crossover black comics.
Sure.
Red Fox was famous like underground before he got Sanford and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Then Cosby had to be politically. You're right. Sidney Poitier. There's always like.
Yeah, and he was just an actor.
You have to hold up a bunch of ideals.
And
politics.
Now it's sort of like rappers where people go to them as like, you know, you have to be the voice
of, a lot of that.
White
people,
your generation.
There's a lot of white people.
No one looks to Eminem for anything. No one wants him doing anything, speaking on any topic.
But see, that's
nothing.
The thing.
No one cares about him at all.
But the reason they go to, like, you know, Enrique Iglesias for his political opinions is because there are just relatively fewer,
I guess,
famous Latinos or famous blacks.
Okay.
White people, they're all famous.
Right.
And so we can have specialties.
Yeah. Okay, you know so what you're saying is black people need to multitask because there's fewer people to fill these different roles,
right.
Whereas with white people, we've got enough people to cover all of this wide spectrum.
We've got one for every job.
And you can just be right.
We have a much bigger roster.
Yes.
No one ever asked George Stephanopoulos to be funny.
Yes.
They just have him on and talk
about politics. No one asked Gilbert Gottfried about politics.
No, and they should.
I would like to talk... About the budget plan.
Dueling Gilbert. Boko Haram.
Bring back our girls. Why did you take our girls?
I didn't know they were mine to begin with.
If you're taking girls, I have a 6-year-old who won't listen to me. Can you take her? It's not a bad joke, actually.
No, it's not a good impression, but
it's not a bad joke. Oh. I was writing that as
I told
you.
Back to Last Comic
Standing. Last Comic Standing.
This fucking show.
The other judge. The other judge is Russell Peters, and I don't even know enough about Russell Peters.
And I'm
glad to stay that way.
Well, Russell Peters is like a guy that is world famous.
Yeah.
And Americans don't know.
Well, he is by nationality Canadian, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So there you go.
But he's kind of like still...
That explains what's wrong with him.
Well, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian.
Well, hold on. That's
practically retarded Canadian. It's funny because there's millions of funny Canadians.
Well, sure.
Like, we can give you 50 great Canadian comics or comedic actors. Mm-hmm. Russell Peters doesn't come to mind, but maybe he's getting to it. Maybe he's getting to that part where he's going to entertain me.
He's an Indian Canadian.
Yeah.
Indian background.
So he
kind of crosses over.
And plays the Middle East and stuff,
Our buddy Chris Newberg did a tour with him and got to go to, like, you know, Bangladesh and
stuff. Didn't he play Bahrain and all kinds
of
shit like
that?
Bahrain
and Qatar and all that crap.
Wow.
So that was crazy. Chris got to do that tour with him. So Russell Peters is, like, a huge comic because he's, you know why? Because there's a billion Indians.
I guess.
And if they see one guy with their,
their guy looks like them, yeah.
Right. And he can do all that hacky Indian material in Canada. You know.
How come Aziz Ansari is not touring the world?
I don't know. Well, Russell Peters also is a very family. He's a very kind mainstream comic.
He's like a Jeff Foxworthy for Indians.
So I think Aziz is a little more hipster-y.
He's too edgy, too
hipster. He talks about a rap.
Too hipster.
Aziz is a black Indian guy.
He's a black Indian.
You know what I mean?
He's got swagger.
He's kind of, he's kind of culturally hip-hop.
Sure, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Is what Aziz identifies with a little bit. Anyway.
So last comic standing.
So Russell Peters is very bland, gave no opinion.
Yeah, his opinion was terrible.
And I know he's Newberg's buddy, but whatever.
Keenan was trying to be the tough judge. He was actually critical of some people.
Yeah, but...
But very, very little.
Keenan is like 56 years old and looks like he's 12.
Yeah, he's like at the beach every
day. Doesn't
he
look like he's like pulled that skin back?
He really does. He looks like he's dieting heavily, working out heavily.
Right.
He looks like he's got 75 capped teeth in his mouth.
He's a guy that like only drinks green...
He probably is way into his appearance.
Right.
Way more than...
A lot of kale smoothies.
A guy of that age needs to be. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. But, you know, also it's hard to determine because, again, black don't crack.
Black don't crack.
So, anyway, Roseanne is, like, the lead judge, and they kind of both follow her.
Yeah.
So the difference on this year's Last Comic Stand, and then J.B. Smoove is the announcer, and...
kind of the voice of the generation, possibly.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was about to ask him about what to do in Ukraine.
J.B. Smoove. Well,
man, what you doing in Ukraine?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the problem, J.B. They gave him nothing to do on this.
He
literally walked out and introduced
the guys. And I love J.B. Smoove on, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah,
I think he's funny on that. But when he's left to his own devices, he just kind of does dancing. And he is a horrible announcer. You can't tell who the comics are.
No, it is
coming
weird.
Coming up, give it up for Lando Ross.
And then you got to look. You got to read the guy. Fortunately, the guy's name is on a big, giant screen behind him.
Right.
Or you wouldn't know. But, yeah, the problem.
DeVaylanda!
The problem with the show, that I'm going to say, and it involves the judges and why the judges aren't critical, is the edit of this show is so brutal that, you know, when you do a talent show, it really should be done live like an American Idol, so you don't have an edit. Because the edit, and maybe Last Comic Standing will be live when they narrow it down, but the edit is so much where, like, if they show a guy's whole set, generally that person is going to move on in the show. Some of them don't, but most of them do. Then when they do their compilation of guys where each guy gets 30 seconds and they'll do like six of them in a row in a 3 minutes, you know, where you see like this.
Right.
Those guys generally don't go forward in the show. So what they're essentially doing is they're showing you this guy's good, this guy sucks, this guy's good, this guy sucks, this guy's make it, doesn't make it. So by the time you get to the judges, the only judges' critiques you hear of people are the guys that are automatically moving forward. And they're not critical of those guys because they're putting them forward. So there's really – it's hard as a viewer to understand who's good and who's bad. You know, and
well,
you know,
they probably get 4 minutes live in the studio. And so instead of – because there's 100 comics on this thing – which I think is also a problem.
Well, but there's 100 comics, but they're going to be going through them in like 4 weeks or something. So it'll be 20 a week or 25 a week or 5 weeks.
The original format of Last Comic Standing, did they already just have the guys picked?
No. Well, they did these city-by-city open calls.
Like
they
that first season?
Put the ringers in there. Then all those guys went to Vegas, which is sort of where this show started. This is considered the Invitational. There was no city-by-city audition. They just went, brought all these guys to L.A., threw them in a theater, taped these shows with the first 100 comics. They're going to whittle that down to 10, I guess. Like, they'll do this round. This round will whittle it down to 25. Then they'll do another round. They'll whittle that down to 10. And then those 10 will be voted off one at a time until they get down to the Last Comic Standing. And by that point, I won't be watching. here's the last comic who won't be standing. Me, because I'll be sleeping and not watching that shit.
And that's kind of my problem with most reality shows, is that I just don't care after a certain
point. When it's a talent competition, you have to be able to honestly assess the talent for yourself. Or you're just watching people judging talent, and you're actual, as a viewer, you're not engaged. You're not actually judging these people because they're already prejudged. It's like, we've pre-baked this competition for you. Here you go. That's what I'm saying. When they get down to the 10, they've got to make it live. They've got to make it real or else it's not going to do it. And my point is this. Look, if you want to put comedy on TV, take a bunch of comics and just put them on TV.
Well,
I know it's not going to draw a rating when you have to put your little contest, that little twist in. That's fine, but you can just put comics on TV. It's okay. People will watch or not watch based upon however good that is.
Now, there is a hook for me to personally watch.
Okay.
In that we know guys that are on this.
Yeah, season. I know. I've known a few guys that are on that show.
Right.
And
our friend Dave Landau, who we've done many shows with. Yeah. Was on the very first episode.
Dave was on the
first
one. We interviewed Dave back at the Detroit Comedy Festival, whenever
that
was.
Yeah.
Dave, I know we did interview Dave on that. And Dave co-hosted the Funhouse with me.
Okay.
A few times.
Yeah.
With
my
ICP. Psychopathic Radio.
So he's a Detroit comic, and we've known for years.
And he came out, had a great set. He was the first guy on the first episode. Did a great set. So, you know, I mean.
And then Dave Waite's a friend of mine who's a comic.
Sure.
used to be from Cincinnati, now from New York. And he got, Landau got a whole set.
Sure, yeah.
Although maybe not a whole 4 minutes. He got maybe 2.5.
Yeah, there might have been an edit in Landau's set. It was hard to tell. They let him go for, I mean, you saw most of what he did, and it was good. So.
And he did a good job.
And you knew they were going to like
Dave Waite got like two jokes that they let
and
him.
Then you knew Dave Waite, you're never going to be seen from again. But like, I know I worked with Jimmy Schubert, who's been on there, who was on there. A lot of guys I know just from working at the Castle. Yeah. We had Michael Somerville in
AJ
there.
AJ Finney's another good guy.
Yeah, they're guys, you know. Yeah, so I know a lot of those guys. And so I am watching the show just for that, and I may stick around. But to me, it's just phony. And I see real comedy done for real in front of real audiences, and that's not it. And I'm sorry that, you know, to a lot of people, that's the exposure they get. Yeah.
There's another show if you want to watch real comedy
in
a better format.
Yeah.
Dave Attell's Underground.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. Is that good?
It's pretty good.
All right,
I only caught one episode of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the comics that he had on.
Yeah.
Which is great. Because, like I said, on Last Comic Standing, I see familiar faces.
Yeah.
People I've worked with. I did
well. If you have Access TV, which probably not everybody has on cable, but it used to be called HDNet. They have a live at Gotham every Thursday night.
Okay,
and I think it's actually live. It's an hour live with and they usually have a somewhat well known host. Like they had Mick Foley host 1 week. They had Artie Lang host 1 week. They've had some people host, and they have you're working New York comics on there.
Right.
So the other day, Mitch Fatale was on. I think Dave Landau has been on that show. And, you can see real comedy done on that show.
What's good about the...
I think they might make it more kind of clean on that.
They
can swear on that.
That's what's good about the Attell show.
Can they swear on the Attell show?
It's on at 1.
Oh, okay.
So it's...
It's uncensored.
Carte blanche.
Anything.
You can get wild.
Do what you want. Yeah, are you going to stick around for Last Comic? Like, we missed... The episode that's airing tonight.
I'll watch it a couple times. It's tomorrow night. If Dave advances, I'll probably tune in to catch him. There's a couple. Mary Mack. I didn't see her yet. She's a girl I've worked with. Funny. I love how I said that. Like, she's a girl who's funny.
And it's a girl.
Because sometimes
they're rare.
You have to explain that girls are funny.
When you find a funny one, you better hang on to them.
Mary Mack's a good comic. Anyway. I'll watch it a couple more times, but I got to tell you that Keenan and Russell,
they're not
with their bland, their mocha colored blandness.
Yeah,
they're light skinned.
Well,
I'm just saying
they would suck if they were any color.
Right.
It's just not
okay.
I mean,
so
I
the
don't...
one and now in the old Last Comic Standing, there'd be goof acts, and there'd be including ones we know, who'd get gonged off.
Uh huh.
And on this, there was one guy who got shit.
Yeah.
Mostly, they just kind of showed people.
Did you look up that guy's name?
Ben Cronberg.
Yeah, and I'm sure Ben has a career.
Ben Cronberg had a Comedy Central half hour special.
Yeah, Ben's a real working guy. Yeah. I think Ben came on and just was like, he did a thing where like, well, you don't get, you know, like he stood there and said nothing, and then he goes, well, you don't start right away when you get to work, which is sort of an old line.
That was
kind of lame.
That's a hack joke.
It's a hack joke.
That's been around.
Yeah, but I actually liked that his approach to the comedy competition was different than everybody else.
He kind of blew it. He kind of was like, fuck your competition.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And the judges knew that.
Yeah.
And they smelled that he didn't care. And Roseanne told him to fuck himself.
Yeah, you should get them. They literally said, well, you had a chance and you blew it, so see ya. But, you know, whatever.
That was the one guy that got mad at because I think he was sort of spoofing the format.
Maybe they'll do that on every show, is they'll have one guy that they'll make an example out of. But, you know, it's...
I do that at every show.
One guy to make an example
every
out of?
Every open mic, I make...
One comedian.
I take one guy and make an example of him. All right.
Are you appearing at O'Mara's tomorrow night?
I might make an appearance.
All right, so we'll see Corey. You'll hear Corey on the next show
doing
some stand-up. You did some new stuff tonight.
Yeah, I did a little bit of new stuff. So I have more to work on.
All right, I got to work on new stuff. And now I'm going to get to this. AGT real quick.
Well, on AGT, now there's another show.
Yeah, I know.
So Last Comic Standing is trying, I think, to give comics a better, or put it in a better light.
Yeah.
They're doing less freaks.
Yeah.
Well, AGT, this fucking show, puts on a montage, and I enjoy AGT.
Yeah, I do too.
In small bursts. I can only take a little bit of...
Well, the variety of it is refreshing compared to most talent shows.
I like Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
Howard, of course, I've been a fan of for years, but he's getting annoying on that show. And with the cap tape,
he
looks like a fucking vulture.
When something requires Howard to be funny on that show, he does usually deliver. When it's a ridiculous act, Howard will be funny about it, and it's entertaining. So,
The old Howard would have been great on that show.
And
anyway.
The old Howard died. The old,
I know.
The old Howard died under a pile of billions of dollars.
I know.
Literally.
There's like a... Howard Stern is an empty skin suit that's been manipulated by somebody else.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway.
Good for him.
I like Howie Mandel, though, is usually pretty good.
Yeah, Howie Mandel's pretty funny on there. It's a good show.
I can't take Heidi Klum's
opinions. No one can.
And you're just... It's so obvious. Okay. I'll even take fucking Spice Girl.
But, you know,
I'll take the Spice Girl because at least she was
You'll take
business.
Her opinion. And she was but you have to remember, Heidi Klum's a big star amongst women because of Top Model or Project One Way, whichever fucking dumb show she did.
Yeah,
she's a big star from that. And she is, you know, she has a certain cachet amongst a certain audience.
Oh,
and, yeah.
But it's like this desire.
It's not us. We weren't watching Project Runway. Maybe you were. You know.
Here's why this. Why
your leg was shackled to the couch to watch that garbage.
Have a wife.
Yeah,
I
understand that.
By the way, I strenuously avoid when that show's on.
Yeah.
And I come home.
Right.
She's watching it. I got to get the fuck out of the room.
You got to.
It's the one show I'll compromise and watch some of her house improvement shows and whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But there's always some show where they're like redoing a kitchen. Mm-hmm. Or putting in travertine tile. That's Project Runway is so
it is
toxically.
Bad, yeah.
It's like I don't watch boxing around her.
Sure,
I know
yeah.
she's not going to care about
right,
that
right,
or whatever.
Right. Yeah,
it's noxiously gay.
Yeah,
it's just
I agree
acidic gayness. Anyway, the one comic. So they did a montage of comics biting.
Yeah, they gave the comedians a segment on this opening
it was a segment,
first episode,
and it was guys
AGT,
eating a dick.
Yeah, pretty much.
They put about a half dozen guys in a row.
And they showed how bad, one after another, bomb, 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 bomb.
And then that was a big setup. They threw a bunch of jobbers mm-hmm. into the grinder. And then out comes the hero to come do a big frog splash. And you know what I mean? Like,
well, they brought out Dan Aderman, but they sort of billed Dan as a guy who wouldn't be funny.
Right.
I thought. I mean, it's hard to look at it. You know, you can look at it one way or the other. But they sort of did a little profile on Dan, and it kind of looked like maybe Dan mm-hmm. would be the next guy to just eat mm-hmm. shit. Even though we know Dan Natterman because we saw him on Last Comic Standing season 2.
Here's the irony of this.
Yeah.
So Dan Natterman comes out and he does really well.
Yeah.
And because he's a funny comic.
Chills,
he's probably been doing comedy for 20 years.
Yeah.
He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
Been doing comedy, you know, probably 5 years longer than you and me.
Probably.
Anyway. Good comic. Comes out there, does the set, kills. But the promo package made him look like a nervous.
It kind of did make him look like a nervous,
made him look
twitching.
Like a twitchy freak.
Yeah.
And the guy's out there doing television. He's doing NBC.
Yeah.
Doing a spot. And he's got this fucking number like he ran a marathon.
Yeah, they do.
On his shirt. And I just went, where's the dignity?
Like it's a...
And then he's going to sit there and get an opinion from Heidi Klum.
Yeah, I know. Heidi Klum. Tell me if I was fun. Hey, you tell the professional comedian if he was funny or not, Heidi.
I'm gonna go do a runway show. Then Heidi can give me an opinion. But I'm like, I don't need a model's opinion.
Yeah, I know.
About fucking anything.
So it looks like Natterman might be the guy on this season
that makes a run.
That makes a run because last year it was Taylor Williamson and
you know
Kevin Downey Jr. went pretty far.
Dan Natterman's got material.
Yeah, Dan, I think he'll do fine.
He's
got
an hour of material, so he'll be able to go.
And in the past, Tom Cotter was a guy that probably should have won the 1 year. Because I think he finished number 2 to a dog act. He was 2 seasons ago.
Oh, my God.
It was a fucking great dog act. The Olathe dogs were a great dog act. But, yeah, it was...
What happens when the dog dies? All right, anyway.
They get a new dog, and they beat the shit out of him and don't feed him until he does his
tricks. So, watch Dave Attell's Underground.
Okay, Dave Attell's Underground. I'm with you.
Because they shoot it in a handheld camera style. Okay. Real up close. The comics are filthy. They're not all great.
Yeah.
But at least it's more like a real experience.
Good. Good luck to Dave. Dave's a good guy. And,
yeah, Dave's a good
guy. We both know Dave a little bit, and Dave's a good guy. All right. Moving on to my gig coming
Name
up.
Droppers with Corey. Yeah. And all right.
On this episode
this
of Name Droppers,
show. Right, let's
I'm going to drop name right now on you.
Okay.
I get a text message today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me set this up. This is a guy. There's a guy that I know. Who is one of the big local rock clubs, okay? I'm not even going to specifically get into the guy because people know who he is. There's a big local rock club. I once helped him out with a comedy show in a very around-the-way kind of thing. They were already doing a comedy show. The promoter I knew hired one of my friends to be on the comedy show. I came out and sort of gave them a little direction on how to run it. I wasn't booked on the show myself. But I became friendly. And the promoter was the guy who was helping, but the manager of the club, who I know... became friendly with me, and said, I got lots of opportunities for you to do comedy. We want you to come out and do some shows with me. Okay. The guy came out and did an open mic when I was running one at Go Comedy, the improv theater here in Ferndale. When I did that show, the guy came out, friendly guy, exchanged. So anyway, this is a guy that I've known, you know, in a weird
casual
relationship. And for years and years has promised me, I'm going to book this comedian and you're going to open, and it's always fallen through. I've got a three-city tour with this guy. I'm going to book you on it. I haven't even told you these opportunities this guy had in the past has promised me. So I get an email today. I get the funniest text message from this guy today. He goes, I got a gig. I need a comic opening for Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. He goes, I got a text opening for Jeff Tweedy at the Jack White Theater. He goes, do you know who Wilco is? I need a guy to play with them. And of course I run him back. I go, of course I know who Wilco is, because I'm a child of indie rock, and sure. Wilco are one of the the pillars of the indie rock.
We've seen Wilco together, I think.
Have we seen? I don't know. I'm not. It's funny that Wilco is
Taste Fest.
Wilco is one of those bands that I really never got into. Yeah. While I respect them and I like some of their music, I don't think I own a Wilco album specifically.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot's the big album everybody has.
Wilco's a legendary indie rock band. Of course I know who Wilco is. Of course I know who Jeff Tweedy. I didite realize they had renamed the Scottish Rite Cathedral at the Masonic Temple after Jack White because he paid their utility bills or their mortgage or whatever. So they named that theater for him, but it's the smaller theater in the Masonic Temple.
At the Detroit History Museum, there's the Kid Rock Music Lab.
So it's good to know. It's good to know everyone can put their get something named after them. Yeah. So anyway,
I look forward to the Mel Tillis Dinner Theater.
He goes, "Do you want to?" He says, "Do I need a comic for you know Jeff Tweedy?" And he goes, "You need to do 30 minutes, and it's like a week away. It's next week, June 5th." Mm-hmm. And I go, "Well, can I do it?" You know, I write him back, and he goes, "Yeah, I guess." He goes, "You need to submit some videos." So I said, "All right." I go, "I think there's YouTube clips of me." So I went on YouTube. And there's a set of me from like 5 years ago at Chaplin's Comedy Club, which doesn't even exist anymore. Right. And that was a real like kind of – I think my set is good. I mean, because I definitely used it for promotional purposes. So it was good at the time. I liked it in 2010. And I'm just like – but I'm in a sport coat. I'm looking – it's very – I'm very much going for the middle of the road.
When your clip is from a club that's been gone for 5 years.
Yeah, right. Well, the clip is 5 years old. The club's been gone for maybe 3 years. So anyway – I said, okay, I'll just send this clip. And he goes, because Jeff Tweedy's management has to watch the clip. So I call Corey. I go, look, if I don't get it, do you have something to submit? And you're like, not really. I said, well, maybe you'll be more their type. I called our friend Bill Bouchard. I said, you know, if I don't get this, do you want to do it? And he said, okay. Sure enough, the guy raised his back and said, hey, they liked your clip. You're in. So sure enough, 7 days from right now, I am opening, doing 30 minutes in front of a Jeff Tweedy acoustic set in front of 1,400 people. At the Jack White Theater at the Masonic Temple in Detroit.
All right.
That's a weird fucking gig. Now, I love it because here's an opportunity to play for people that I honestly might be friends with, which is a weird thing. You know what I mean? You're playing for an audience like...
Well, it's a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged sword. No, I completely
agree.
I have
done shows.
Yeah, I know.
I've done shows at rock venues that I hang out at.
Yes.
And I've done shows in front of bands.
Yeah.
And those audiences do not...
I hear you.
I always say this to young comics.
Yeah.
You got to do comedy somewhere where they know there's a show.
I know. And I'm worried about
comedy
this.
Comedy only works.
Right, I know.
When they know they're seeing
they
a comedy show.
Well, here's my deal with this. Here's my thought process as I've researched this show. First of all, I'm going, why does Jeff Tweedy want a comedian? So I did some research. Jeff Tweedy is doing the show where he just brings an acoustic guitar. They say there's no set list. He talks between the songs. He tells jokes or something. So I think it's a lighthearted affair. So I was thinking Jeff Tweedy acoustic might be a little more serious than that, but it sounds like it's very lighthearted. And I'm guessing that because he's touring with an acoustic guitar, they're not going to need to have roadies to set up drums. And so for an opening act, you're either going to get a guy to play acoustic or you're going to get a guy to just talk, henceforth a comedian. So that's why they wanted a comic, and that's how they got me. Why I'm guessing that's why I was chosen as a comedian was chosen as the opening act, just for pure logistics. For the pure sake that it's logistics. And I don't know if my name is going to appear in any of the promotional material so people know, hey, comedian Joel Fragamenti is actually appearing. Not that my name means anything, but just hey, we got a fucking comic. Just put that on the bill somewhere so people don't freak out. The tickets start at about $55.
Wow.
And they scale up to $25 if you want to sit at the back of the balcony. So people are paying good money to see this show. And if it's in a if you've seen pictures of this Jack White, if you want to pull them up, it's an amazing theater. I actually saw the White Stripes there in like 2002 or something. It's a great show. So I'm thinking this might actually work for me. It might. I believe me, I was pessimistic, but as I've gotten more confident that this could work the more research I've done into it. If you're paying $60 for something, you're going to want to enjoy it, aren't you, on some level?
Right.
If you paid $60 and you're in the first 20 rows of this thing, because that's really all you're playing to when you're doing comedy anyways, the first 20, you know.
I realize after doing comedy for a long time, my expectations for bombing have shifted.
Yeah.
I now know I'm going to get laughs.
Sure.
It's the question of how many.
Yeah.
And when you get to the point where you, not to be cocky, I'm just saying, I've got a set now where I know on a good night with a good crowd how it works.
Yeah, well, that's,
and it works every joke.
Yeah, and I take,
and then a bad night is when a couple of those jokes don't work, and you go, why didn't those work?
Yeah, why didn't those work?
And the rest of the shit, I know I'm not going to bomb the way I used to.
Yeah.
You get to a point in comedy where bombing was like, you ate nothing but broken glass for 10 minutes.
But don't you think that this gig, being in front of a non-comedy crowd, has an opportunity for, like, none of the jokes working? For this just being, oh, we don't want to listen to this fucking shit at all. We want Jeff Tweedy's acoustic songs of Wilco, and your dick jokes can go fuck off. That's a possibility of that. But I also think there's a possibility of, you know what, they're going to be sitting there. I'm on, you know, for a half hour. The doors open at 8. Tweedy's on at 9. I'm on from 8:15 to 8:45. I don't think that's that bad of a gig. 30 minutes is a long set at something like that. I think we could both agree that like 15 or 20 would be better. You agree?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
It's one of those things that's dicey, but I'm actually looking forward. Look, it's a challenge, if nothing else. And if I fail at that challenge, I fail at it. But if I hit, I mean, the opportunity, what I'm given here is, in my opinion, if I hit, I become a guy who can play in front of rock shows to a hipster crowd and actually get over. That's a pretty rare thing.
Good luck with that.
I know. I need luck. I need everything.
I would say
I need jokes. I've been going through mentally my Rolodex of indie rock shows in Detroit and venues that are no longer around and local references that I think will get me over.
What I recommend, Corey, you do.
I'm going to drop this on him.
Go ahead.
I'm going to drop the gold dollar on him and watch the fucking crowd explode.
All right.
I'm going to watch them.
I don't think the crowd's going to explode.
Let's go to the liquor store, buy some beer, and go to Zoot's and hang out. And I think this crowd is going to eat that up. They're going to say, you're one of ours, Joel. From this scene that we belong to has spawned from him, from this, a comedic mind that we can look up to him and say, this is our peer. And look what he's become of himself. He has gone from the crowd to the stage. No?
I think you might be fucked.
Look, the good thing is these indie rock guys are probably too lame to actually boo me. They're probably going to be if anything, it's going to be apathy. It's going to be silence.
Indifference.
It's going to be indifference, or it's going to be
tweeting.
They're going to be into me. Possibilities. It's there.
I would just do Bob Hope set from 1968. Pretend you're. Boy, I just flew into me, lie.
Boy, I got to tell you. it could be terrible. I admit that this could be the worst gig ever. Yeah. But I'm approaching it. I'm actually going to work to make it good. Mm-hmm. If it fails, it's not going to be from lack of effort.
There you go.
I'm putting effort into this set.
Well, good for you.
I'm putting effort into this gig. The payday is decent.
Yeah.
The payday is not enough of a payday for me to do this and eat shit and it won't hurt. You know what I mean? Sometimes you make enough money. But it's funny. The gigs that I've been paid a lot of money for, it doesn't hurt. Well, you know, because those gigs are generally good anyway. You know, like when I did Meadowbrook and I got a bunch of money, I was like, oh, that was good anyway. Doesn't matter, you know, the money. But I guess, you know, when I do like The Gathering and stuff, then there are times when I go, I don't give a shit. I'm getting enough money. Who gives a fuck? I just do this. But even that is usually
good. That's got to be the heart. So look.
Yeah.
You've done that gig.
Yes.
Which has got to be
yes.
what most comics would consider the worst day of
well,
their lives.
Well, I did it.
Because we know guys who've now put it in their act.
No, I know.
So it is the worst
day.
It is
considered the worst gig
of
in comedy.
Of some comics' lives.
In some comics.
And
not
you've
everybody.
Done it many times.
I have. And
so you should be afraid of nothing.
The worst time I ever did comedy at the Gathering of the Juggalos was when Jimmy J.J. Walker didn't appear.
Right.
Now, I normally you'd go, is there an audience that's rabid to hear the comedy of Jimmy J.J.
No!
Walker? Tonight, on this night, there was. On this night in Cave and Rock, Illinois at 2 in the morning, there was a rabid audience to see Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Have you seen Jimmy
so,
on talk shows lately?
I do. I love Jimmy. I think Jimmy's great now. Jimmy, I've had a rough
like
relationship with
TV.
Jimmy. I love Jimmy. Now, Jimmy's great.
It's crazy.
Jimmy's great because he just speaks his mind.
He's
I
just
love
a
Jimmy.
Wild, crazy
He's
man.
A wild man.
Yeah.
So I go and I get up and Jimmy's not there and I go, look, Jimmy's not here. Why don't I tell you jokes? And I did 30 minutes in place of Jimmy Walker and they liked me. They actually listened.
It
was great.
I would say.
I did a good job. So
I would actually recommend that you go back and listen to the tapes of some of these podcasts.
Yeah.
And instead of doing strictly set punch jokes.
Sure.
Do some set pieces.
Sure.
Based on stuff you've
okay.
done here.
This is the thing I got. I did this recently on the podcast. Tom Petty is a cracker ass motherfucker from White Trash. Yeah, how good was that? You laughed. You
well,
laughed.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's
no.
What I'm
well,
saying.
You know, the one thing that's been valuable for me is I've been doing these O'Mara show and I've been writing new jokes for those.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pull some of that. I'm going to do. If you've listened to it, my Chris Martin Gwyneth Paltrow material that worked. My joke about the Bigfoot hunt with Dean Cain was a great joke. I think you've heard that joke. I think I did
I,
that
I
for
just
you.
Think, I think the problem
and
sometimes with
some...
indie rock guys is they don't
sure.
like comedy.
They don't, yeah. They go. They think they're funny, and therefore they're not going to laugh. No, I admit that I shouldn't make it. I need to make it less of a club set and more of a rock and roll big venue set. So I've got to find a way to do that. But I'm going to try. I've got some ideas.
Right.
I'm not going to share all those ideas on this show right now, but I'm going to do the show. You'll hear about how it went. And certainly if you're in Detroit, if you want to watch me shit my pants on, yeah. If you want to watch me shit my pants on stage at the Jack White Theater, by the way, saying I'm doing comedy with Jeff Tweedy at the Jack White Theater is one of the more pretentious statements I've ever made in my entire life. I admit that.
Yes.
And I don't, I say that as knowing how bad it could possibly be. So
I am, doing a green drink demonstration at a yoga seminar in Sedona, Arizona. I want to put together the most pretentious statement I could.
Corey, who books that? Yeah. that sounds like a good gig. Yeah, I would like that. How much does that pay?
Charter talent,
yeah,
and it pays
good.
$150.
No, it sounds wonderful.
All right, let's get out of here.
Let's get out. Movies. Oh, speaking of comedy, in late night. God, we did late night last time, but another casualty of late night. Add another tombstone next to Pete Holmes of TBS.
I'm playing tabs for Pete Holmes.
No, that's fine. That's good. Pete Holmes is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because they, I don't know if it's funny, but, you know, TBS re-upped Conan for like another 4 years. And then two days later, Pete Holmes hit the bricks, buddy.
That's good.
So Pete's out. I don't know that format worked for me. He was doing four nights a week of sketch, which I think is too much.
Yeah.
I wonder if one night a week at Pete Holmes might have been a little more successful.
I'm not into Pete Holmes, so I don't think any nights a week are good for me.
Just because I'm not into it doesn't mean he sucked.
Yeah. Well, they canceled George Lopez, too.
They did cancel
George Lopez. Got really hosed because he had a show first.
Yeah.
They brought Conan on, and then they dumped him.
And then Lopez said, oh, I'll step aside for Conan. No big deal. We're all friends. Hey, man, come on in.
It's going to give me a bigger lead-in.
And then George Lopez is passed out drunk at Caesar's Windsor.
I know.
6 months later.
Comedy's a wonderful
thing. Oh, it's a bitch, isn't it? All right, let's talk enough comedy talk. I think we've talked. Listen, if you like comedy, this is the show for you.
Yeah.
How much comedy content have you gotten tonight?
There's a lot.
There's a lot there. I mean, you're hearing about my upcoming gigs and everything.
Sure.
This is inside baseball.
I didn't even tell the story of the time I finger banged Rita Rudner.
Ah, well,
but
Jesus
anyway,
Christ,
let's get back to. Knuckles.
Oh, Rita
I was
Rudner.
Knuckles deep.
Oh, that Rita.
In Rita Rudner. All
but right, listen, this was many years ago. This was 2006, and Rita was still hot. So I don't.
She was having hot flashes. It's called menopause. Anyway, go
let's
ahead.
Move. Okay, movies. Now I'll just start. We reviewed Godzilla last week. You said it was very good. It seemed like that was the initial. I think you gave us an early review of Godzilla. It came out, got good reviews. Then I think a little backlash started, and people said, "Oh, Godzilla is no good." I went last week, and I can confirm that Godzilla is very good. So
John Tenney hated it.
Yeah, and I wish Tenney was here to speak his piece on Godzilla, because I really liked it.
Yeah.
My feeling is this. If you're going to make a summer summer popcorn movie,
mm-hmm.
this works for that.
Sure.
If you want to make an intelligent movie about a giant monster, I think this movie works in that way, too. The thing is, it's not all summer popcorn movie. It's not all sci-fi, smart...
I question how much people have really watched Godzilla movies.
Yeah, because you would be more of an expert than I am.
Right. I think this was pretty close to the format of a lot of Godzilla movies. I thought the problem I had with the movie, spoilers.
Yeah, I was going to spoil it too, so.
The big problem I have with the movie.
Yeah.
And believe me, I could nitpick it.
Sure.
And I enjoyed it while I was watching it, and that's why I gave it a good review.
Yeah.
But, you know, John was listing a bunch of stuff, my other friends. Sure.
Aaron Taylor Johnson wasn't great in it. Emily Olsen, they didn't give anything new. That whole story of those two contrived. The Bryan Cranston stuff is great, and that sort of stops midway through, unfortunately.
Right. That is my big problem with the movie, is that they got a good cast, and you're like, wow, Ken Watanabe. And then Ken Watanabe sits there and goes, he's called Godzilla. And that's it. And it's like,
no, Ken Watanabe stares into the distance and says something profound, and then they cut. And they go back to Ken, and he's looking somewhere else and says something profound, and then they go, you know, like it's...
Nature finds a balance. Yeah, the balance is called Godzilla.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
But Bryan Cranston was like, the first half of the movie is about Bryan Cranston, and he's good because he's a great actor.
Yeah.
And he holds you through your attention, and then it's like, that story's gone.
I thought about this, and I only read about it later, that according to whatever I read about, you know, the writing of the script, it was really based on Roy Scheider and Jaws. That's what he's based on, because it felt very 70s, that Cranston stuff.
Sure, it was good.
And I go, it really did feel like that. And apparently, you know, Frank Darabont wrote, and I actually thought, I said, you know, this feels like Walking Dead, I thought.
Yeah.
And it turns out Darabont was the guy who wrote the final draft of that script.
But that storyline didn't have a satisfying resolution, and I think that's why people
didn't how do you end? But how do you end the god fucking giant monster movie?
I don't want to ruin the Cranston.
Oh, the Cranston stuff. But you know what? That's a Walking Dead kind of thing where... We're going to the major characters may not make it all the way through.
The whole first hour of the movie is kind of like Close Encounters, where they're setting it up.
Yeah, well, it's Jaws. You don't see the shark.
You don't get
much,
right? And it's Cranston like trying to get to the bottom of what happened at this nuclear plant, and it's good.
Yeah,
and then it just shifts into action.
It does, but you know,
and the other complaint people have, and I kind of agree with this, is that when the monsters finally do go at it, they cut away.
They do a little bit, yeah.
And that got really annoying. They did it a couple times.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the other thing that surprised me. And again, spoiler if you haven't seen Godzilla, feel free to fast forward. I didn't realize there were other monsters that Godzilla was actually going to fight in this.
Sure.
And I was surprised. I was like, oh, they're doing Mothra, basically, here.
Well,
it wasn't Mothra, but, you know, it was,
They kept the other monsters out of the
promo stuff.
For the most part.
Yeah, and they said there's actually, what I read when I was doing reading Wikipedia later is that in the preview... There's a shot in the actual movie where Godzilla is fighting one of the other monsters. And for the trailer, they CGI'd out the other monster, and you just see Godzilla, but it's the same shot. So they actually kept that hidden until you saw the movie. And it worked for me because I wasn't spoiled.
It's a fun popcorn movie.
It was. It was good. It's good.
It's got, look, you want to talk about the logic of the Navy sending nuclear missiles on a train and stuff?
Yeah.
Silly.
But, no. Yeah. The whole thing with this is a mechanical thing, and the monsters are eating the nuclear, but they feed on nuclear. Waste or something. I don't know.
It's a Godzilla movie.
It's a Godzilla movie.
Just
go.
Relax.
And the other thing, Gareth Edwards, who directed this, has been announced. He's going to make a Star Wars movie. But it's not going to be one of the numbered Star Wars. What they're going to do is there's going to be a Star Wars. I know. Corey, wake up, please. Get Corey some coffee. We're talking Star Wars. In between the numbered Star Wars, 7, 8, and 9, there's going to be Star Wars one-offs, which are... movie set in the Star Wars galaxy.
Fucking kill me.
Gareth Edwards is going to be directing the first of those, which sounds good because he's a good director, it seems.
He's
made two movies and they're both really good.
That's going to segue right into my next review.
And an update. Monsters, which I told you last time, Gareth Edwards' first movie was not available anywhere. It is back on Netflix, so if you want to watch his first movie,
they also threw some like old school Godzilla movies.
Oh, did they? Okay, so there you go. But Gareth Edwards' first movie, Monsters, is worth seeing.
Yeah.
So go see that. All right.
Well, what you were just talking about franchise fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
Segues right into my next review.
Yes.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Which has already become a big smash hit.
Yeah.
It's done $100 million already.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say I enjoyed it on the whole.
Okay.
I thought it was a really well-done X-Men movie.
Yeah.
But it's the seventh X-Men movie since 2000.
Yeah.
I think the first one came out 2000, 2001.
Yeah, so it's,
like
it's we're biannual
so
X-Men.
We've now had 14 years. We've had seven movies. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
There's been certainly a lot of Spider-Man movies, and that hurt that movie.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which, that was, by the way, the worst performing Spider-Man movie yet.
This one, the Amazing Spider-Man 2? Okay.
Yes.
Good. Time for a reboot, or they do Amazing Spider-Man 3?
They're going to probably
They're going to do three, and then they'll reboot it.
Stop with the Spider-Man.
I don't think they know.
But they don't. Because these movies are not made.
Yeah.
It used to be Jaws, shit like that, was never made in the intention of making more of them.
Yeah.
Look at the Star Wars trilogy. I think they planned that to be.
Yeah, I can see where you said, after
Although
Star Wars.
You could have only made Star Wars and had it been an ending.
Yeah.
And not, had another one. But anyway.
Yeah, right.
Now these are all built on timetables, calendars, profit projections about what the studio needs to make that year.
Mm-hmm.
So we get this. Okay, I'm a Marvel guy. I know this shit inside and out.
Yeah.
I've lived and breathed comic book stuff since the day I was born.
Right.
I've had enough Marvel movies.
Have you?
I'm about done.
Okay, let me ask you this. And you don't have to speak. I'm not even asking specifically about you. But aren't there guys who, when a comic book movie comes out, goes, I love the comic books. These movies are not, they're not keeping with the canon of the books, or they're not authentic to the experience. I reject these. I don't feel like comic book guys do that, but I feel like you see that all the time with like movies. Like, there'll be Beatles movies that come out, and there's Beatles guys who reject. Oh, that's a stupid Beatles movie. You can't fucking watch that shit. That's a terrible. And there's guys who reject it, but it seems like comic book guys seem to be on board, at least in theory, with everything.
Well,
they at least go to it. I'm not saying they like all of them,
but there's always
guys who go, like, if you like Spider-Man, you go to every Spider-Man automatically, and you're just lockstep with them.
Yeah.
And like, how many bad Spider-Mans do you watch where you go, I'm not going to Spider-Man again? And I don't think the answer is there is no number at this point.
I'm a different case because I chose to watch every movie.
Okay.
And I'm an asshole for that.
But you're reviewing them for your job and stuff. But if you were a fan, you would choose. You still haven't hit the point where you've gone, I don't need to see that X-Men.
I think I'm getting to the point, and this is probably because I've devoted myself to movies for so long, that I would maybe skip the new Spider-Man.
Okay.
But as a fan, it's horrible.
Okay.
It's as much as you love Roddy Piper.
What I'm saying is, yeah.
Do you feel like you have an emotional connection to like mid 1980s wrestling?
Well, I'm nostalgic for it, I guess, on some level.
You're gonna always look at that stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
You're gonna be drawn to it.
Yeah.
The thing with the comic books is you're a fan of it when you're seven, and so and the same thing with Star Wars. You have an emotional connection to it. So. Yeah, when they put out a new Captain America movie, I'll go watch it.
I don't need to see if Roddy Piper's wrestling on a WWE pay-per-view. I don't need to see that.
Well, it's just part of the fact that we're getting old.
I understand that, but I'm saying
But
I mean, like, but it seemed like comic books is a culture where there's so much hope. And the thing about if you love comic book movies, the movie coming out is the end of your love for that movie. You see the movie and it stops. The love for that movie is all of the pre-production and through the production and the casting rumors and who's writing it and the trailers and you love it and that's the enjoyment of the movie. When you see the movie, it ends all of
that.
And that's different than other things.
There is a perpetual machine of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that
annoys me.
That there used to be.
It shouldn't be that way.
All right. When I was a kid, there was Starlog magazine.
Yeah.
This was about as much.
Yeah.
You maybe would get a blurb in that, like, if you're reading X-Men comics on the letters page, they'll go, look for the new X-Men animated series coming soon.
Yeah.
There might be a blurb like that.
Sure.
Other than that, you didn't get a lot of info.
Yeah.
Starlog magazine had a, like, in development column.
Okay.
And I would read that as a kid.
Yeah.
And go, ooh, I can't wait till they make
sure
RoboCop. or whatever the fuck it was, you'd read about these movies that were being shot or pending, and you get excited. Mm-hmm. Now that's a whole giant machine.
But I think that's wrong. I think it shows
resources.
There's if X-Men is going to be this giant movie or this giant hit, to me, it needs to be a giant hit because it's good and people went back and saw it 2 and 3 times. Because that's what the blockbusters of yore were. It was people going to see Star Wars 5. Star Wars was in the theater for fucking 2.5 years. Ghostbusters people saw 2 and 3 times. I saw Gremlins a couple times in the theater at the time. I think I saw the first Die Hard in the theater a couple times because they were good movies and you want to see them again. Well, these movies make their money because everyone goes out on the weekend. They see it and then it's over. It's gone. Like I said, I think on the last show, they're making these movies for fucking 72 hours. On the first weekend they open, they don't give a shit if you ever watch that movie again in the future.
Well,
it's already done. It's made its money. They're on to the next one. And these movies aren't classics in the sense that, movie like Frozen that came out this fall, which granted is not made for us.
I think
it's made
Frozen's the fifth highest grossing movie.
But that's what I mean. Frozen has, is a hit like Titanic was a hit in that people go back to it. It's good. X-Men's a piece of shit. And just because you made this movie, it's not a piece. Spider-Man, whatever. I didn't see any of these. But what I'm saying is these movies stink, but they're not being punished by the fans that want to see a good movie.
Here's the difference. Frozen's for girls and
for
kids. I understand.
I got that.
And I will tell you this.
Sure.
Girls are the nerds now.
I gotcha.
We've gotten everything. As a fanboy of comic books, we've gotten everything we ever wanted.
Sure.
We're now tired.
Yeah.
We've gotten every fucking Hulk and Captain America, all that shit, all the Marvel movies we've got, which was a crazy pipe dream 20 years ago. Right. Marvel couldn't get a fucking good movie made to save their lives. And now there's one every, this is now literally the fifth one in less than a year. There was Thor, Captain America, Spider-Man, X-Men, and then there'll be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah.
And the problem also is that X-Men and Spider-Man aren't part of the Disney side of it.
Yeah.
Those are like all structured on a basic like those Marvel comic stuff.
Yeah.
They actually plan those out. This one leads to this one. This one leads to this one and kind of have a little storyline.
Right.
That
runs that's Iron Man, Avengers, Captain America.
And then there'll be those little stinger. And then there's always a little stinger at the end that sets up the next one.
Yeah. Hulk.
Well, the Spider-Man and X-Men are on their own little fucking timelines and they're all messed up.
Yeah.
This movie is about how badly mangled the timeline of the other X-Men movies.
Sure,
they're like, the continuity is such a fucking mess, we had to make a movie where we clean it up.
Well,
and that happens in the comic books, too. So it's kind of a familiar thing.
Yeah.
Once in every 20 years, and sometimes even less, Marvel and DC go, well, fuck, this is a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And they blow the whole universe up and start over.
Yeah, they got to get a new timeline. And
they do it all. And that's like a regular routine.
Reboot.
Right.
They
reboot.
And
it's the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
And so that's a familiar. So now we're getting comic book movies that are doing the pattern of the comic books from 20 years ago. So this one, they took all the cast from the old ones and the cast from First Class, which was the reboot of the X-Men franchise. And they put them together.
I thought Mystique was replaced. Rebecca Romijn.
She does
can
not
no longer
appear.
Play Mystique. Or the old Mystique. The
old one doesn't show
old
up.
Old Mystique
but that doesn't
show.
Mean she doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
They just.
Because I thought somebody. I read somewhere that they actually replaced her with. I mean, I know Jennifer Lawrence is doing young Mystique, but I thought old Mystique was somebody else.
Well,
now,
Mystique can turn into whatever she wants to look like, so it doesn't matter. But. Okay. I don't. Rebecca Romijn's not in the movie.
You're right, but I thought they didn't even do old Mystique.
The older version doesn't show up.
Okay, she doesn't show up.
And by the way, how she goes from Jennifer Lawrence in 1973 to Rebecca Romijn now? obviously she's a mutant and can change her shape. So
yeah,
she'll look like whatever the fuck she wants to look like. Anyway,
maybe she went on the treadmill and lost.
I'm just saying she should be about
Jennifer
65. Anyway, the fucking point is. So they go. They did a timeline thing where they kind of took a little bit of Terminator and a little bit of Matrix, and they took it from the comics too, which were even before Terminator, where there's the Sentinels are these killer robots in the future that are wiping out the mutants, and like everything's fucked. It's a dark timeline, so they have to send Wolverine back into his own body in the 70s, to fix the problem.
Okay.
Anyway, it's convoluted. Even for a guy who knows the stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also fun.
Yeah.
and well done.
Okay.
And it becomes kind of a good caper
yeah,
picture.
People gave this good reviews, I think.
Like,
in
when
general,
it goes back to the 70s, it's almost kind of like Ocean's 11 or something. Okay. They got to break Magneto out of prison.
Was
they got to do this stuff.
Because of the X-Men, I think I've seen three of the X-Men. I think I saw one and two, and I saw First Class, which was the younger reboot.
Sure.
Recently. I thought that was the best one. Was that in the 70s as well? I'm trying to remember.
First Class was in the 60s.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that. I mean, I guess I do remember like young Magneto.
It wasn't like, it doesn't look like.
Yeah, they didn't overly make it.
But it's in the 60s, and then first, you know, this one jumps out a little ahead.
Yeah, all right.
Whatever. I thought it was good. I think it is going to confuse even people that are big nerds of this stuff.
Right.
But they took the Brett Ratner movie, which nobody liked, and erased it.
That was X-Men 3 United. Yeah.
They pretty much, that was the one the fanboys didn't like.
Yeah.
And this one goes, forget that.
Yeah, I never saw
that. And the
that
Wolverine movies, which people weren't as happy about, they kind of erased those too.
Bah.
So there
enough
you go.
Of that nonsense.
Too much of that stuff.
Too much.
Even for a guy who likes it.
Yeah.
Although this is really, look, good cast. Okay. Fassbender, McAvoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Halle Berry's got three lines.
Okay.
That's great.
Enough of her.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And so it's a good movie. Right. It's enjoyable all the way through, but, you know, hey, enough of these. Speaking of enough of a certain entertainer, the other film this week.
Yeah.
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yes.
Or they should have said, A Million Jokes for Three Laughs.
Seth MacFarlane's follow-up from Ted. Which is, I love Ted, and I don't even like Seth MacFarlane's TV shows. But I thought Ted was funny.
It really does stick to the formula, which is throw jokes at the screen until something hits.
Yeah. Because, God, this, you know, I just see in the trailers. First of all, I don't think they've done a very good job promoting this, for one. I don't think people are that aware that it's coming out and that it is a Seth MacFarlane movie. And two, the trailer looks terrible anyway when you do see it. So I think this movie's in trouble, I think, as far as how much money it's going to make. But
yeah.
Yeah, but you saw it, and it's no good.
It is
a thumbs down.
It's just Seth MacFarlane. He's trying to do, the premise is that it's in the Wild West, and he's kind of a modern guy who's appalled by being in the Wild West.
Okay.
And he just keeps talking about how terrible it is.
He's a fish out of water
in
the Wild West.
Everything sucks.
But is it a time travel thing where he's
from
the future?
No, he's just an old West, Wild West guy.
He's just a guy who comes out
with
west.
With a modern perspective.
He's a guy from the city who comes to whatever.
No, he's even born out there.
he's
a
just
sheep
a modern
farmer.
Guy.
And he's just continually going, I can't believe how terrible it is. People get killed all the time in here. And so it's all just jokes about how bad the Wild West was.
Ugh.
It kind of, I think he's trying to go for like Woody Allen in Love and Death.
Yeah.
Where Woody Allen was his same neurotic modern character in a Russian novel.
Yeah.
The problem in this movie is that most of the other characters don't behave like they're in a Western either.
Yeah.
It's a lot of weird jokes and tropes and,
you know. The Western comedy is almost doomed to fail. Look, Blazing Saddles, everyone's going to go, is the greatest ever, but there's a long string of Western comedies that haven't worked.
Well,
it's
aiming for a little bit of Blazing Saddles stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's really spoofing the genre as much as
that's the thing.
Be,
it's spoof.
I don't know what the fuck it's about. There's a couple. There's some big laughs in it.
Okay.
There's a couple funny moments, and then Neil Patrick Harris shits in a hat, and you want your life to be over.
I thought that was just Friday Night with Neil Harris.
That's right.
Anyway, hey-o.
There's a lot, you know what I mean? There's just a lot of like.
Yeah, I don't
need to see sheeps peeing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, do you need to
Is there toilet humor? Is that a lot of? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Do you need to see a sheep's dick?
Do I need to or do I want to,
do
Corey?
Do you want to?
No, I don't want to.
I guess my feeling is an animal's penis.
You can be asking, was it a black sheep or a white sheep? If it's a black sheep, I might want to say.
You're the worst.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Are there black sheep? I could make the joke. It was my the comedy gear is turning.
Thank you.
In my head.
All right.
Joel Fragamenti.
I'm going to go take a nap.
By the way, I'm opening with the black sheep, white sheep joke and at the Jeff Tweedy show at the Jack
black
White Theater next week.
Different from white sheep.
Yeah. Do black sheep have bigger penises? Let me ask you, hipster with the flannel. does a black sheep have a bigger penis? By the way, I'm doing the whole show as Gilbert at two when I did it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. All right. Sure. Now, does a white sheep, is its dick like Van Dyke Parks? And a black sheep's like Sun Ra.
I figure out. The white sheep have jobs and the black sheep.
All right. You're an awful person.
I'm going to do 30. Before we bring on Jeff Tweedy, I have 30 minutes of sheep jokes. I hope this will work for you guys.
Did you see Macaulay Culkin's thing?
Yeah, I don't even know what that. The guy's an idiot.
Pizza jokes.
The guy's an idiot. He does a Velvet Underground tribute band that is about pizza.
They do Velvet Underground songs and then they like, you know.
They have a pizza theme.
Put in pizza jokes.
But I guess they're doing this tour of festivals in Europe. And they got booed off, like, which sounds like...
It'd be like...
How do they not get booed off on every...
Waiting for the pizza man. Oh, you know, it's just like that.
Jesus Christ.
And it's just shit like that, you know?
Yeah, it's... I think that's...
She's a femme fatale, and she likes mushrooms on it. It's just fucking like...
Yeah, that sounds...
oh my God, is it bad? And then like, they got booed off.
Wait, and did you... You're just making up these songs off the top of your
head. Well, I watched a little clip.
Oh, did you?
But that... No, I made that up off the top
of
my
head. Yeah, I was going to say that. Is that really from...
No, I watched them get booed, and they were doing a Billy Joel as a cat. Oh, or it was something like...
God. Comedy really is hard. It really is a challenge. Yeah. You know, you're famous, and if you're Macaulay Culkin, they might give you 10 minutes of, okay, we're going to put up with this shit because you're Macaulay Culkin. I'm getting none of that treatment, by the way. I'm getting no celebrity. Oh, the guy from the podcast is here. We'll give him. I'm getting none of that next week at that show.
Well, they sang like, if that's moving on, then I'm pussing out. It was like that. They were doing like, meow, 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 meow. And of course they booed them. Because it's fucking terrible.
I know. But the premise of that is like, well, like, you got to be in on it. If you're in on it, it's really funny. Like, we're just debasing what, you know, we're taking, you know, Velvet Underground fans are so serious. We're just going to, you know, we're going to mock.
The reason cool guys don't like comedy is Neil Hamburger. That's the reason, right? It's exactly, that's what they're doing.
It's Neil Hamburger in that what? Like that he's so smart that it's
Neil Hamburger's doing an anti-comedy bit.
Yeah.
And the thing about being pretentious is you got to be cooler than everybody else and not really like the things that you like.
Sure.
And that's why comedy doesn't really work.
So what? So my, I have, so my, your advice to me on this show is?
Don't do it.
Duck. Yeah, that's your advice.
Find the exit. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know what to think. All I know is if I'm giving myself advice, get the money. Get the money up front. And I know that sounds like a joke, but seriously, get the money up front. If it goes to shit, I don't want to have to sit there and negotiate with the fucking guy for the money. Get the money up front on something like this. Definitely. Well, but I'll be all right. I've survived. How many Club Bart open mic comedy shows did I survive? How many, you know, and granted, I almost got my ass kicked at a couple of those.
Far too many.
But getting my ass kicked is not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about actually putting on a good show and entertaining those people. And I guess at the end of the day, I probably shouldn't give a fuck whether or not those people are entertained. But God damn it, I'm going to this time.
Well, no, you're a professional.
I'm going to try. So there you go.
I'm going to go do comedy at a proctology convention.
Yes, Corey's actually.
I will have some shows to announce on the next show, probably. But Corey's
performing at a hospice care center somewhere.
Yeah. That's a good show. That's good. I did in high school when I was in drama club.
Yeah.
We did shows at like a senior center.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of comics doing those.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, and they wheel them all out.
And they wheel them out, yeah.
They take the bibs off.
I think Bill Hildebrand's done those.
Oh, jumping,
he told me stories, yeah.
We're out there doing scenes.
Oh,
doing monologues.
Good luck.
That's horrible. All right, I'm going to go put my head in the oven, and Joel's going to write some jokes about Shinola watches. And
I gotta write jokes about something. Listen, if you have any jokes to donate, feel free to go to joelradio.net and leave a comment on the first page.
Now, what's
if
with,
you have a,
here we go. What's with white people in India pale ale? Brothers be like, give me a beer. And white people be like, oh, get me that India pale ale.
If I could just.
I needs an IPA.
I would think you would do it more.
You need a J-O-B. All right. There you go.
There you go. IPA jokes.
Do some IPA jokes. Write that down. Take a note. All right.
Well, that's...
Good night, everybody.
I think that's enough of this. So, again, next show you'll hear will be from the O'Maras, the Comedy Night. I think Corey's appearing in that. I got a pretty good lineup lined up, too. Hopefully they all show up, the guys that I booked. I booked the whole Comedy Castle show from tomorrow night to show up. Those guys will be there, and me and Corey and some other stuff, so come out for that. And then, June 5th, I'm with Jeff Tweedy at the Jack White Theater at the Masonic Temple in Detroit. And if you can't make it to the show, believe me, I'll let you know everything that happens in brutal honesty. Will 1,400 hipsters rush the stage to kick my ass? Probably not. We'll see. Thank you, Corey Hall.
Shalom.
Catch you next time on Joel Radio. Follow me on Twitter, Joel Radio, at Joel Radio Show. At Joel Radio Show.
At Corey Hall, Hall Comic.
At Corey Hall Comic, at Joel Radio Show. Good night, people. I'm going to go watch Queen Latifah. Black famous. Queen of show business.
Oh,
she runs it, baby.
She really sits upon a throne of gold. Your new president. No, I'm good.